the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. So you're on a flight. You're engulfed in a great book on your e-reader. Soon you'll be going to be able to keep reading it, even as you take off and land. ABC's Jim Ryan checks out some new FAA rules.
Until now, the use of electronic readers, DVD players, and portable gaming consoles has been prohibited below 10,000 feet, out of concern they could interfere with navigation equipment. Now the FAA says those gears have been unfounded. Devices will soon be allowed. But business traveler James Lee isn't happy.
I don't see why we can't use our cell phones on the plane. The important thing is that we're able to get access to emails and phones. This is where I want to go.
Neither the FAA nor the Federal Communications Commission is willing to take that step yet. Jim Ryan, ABC News at DFW Airport.
Concerned that the Washington Navy Yard Gunman was able to obtain a security clearance despite having a troubled and unstable town. Senate hearing into the nation's security clearance system began today, a week later after former Navy service Karen Alexis took folks inside the Navy Yard building. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul fighting back after a media outlet that was facing a report from the film that Gattaca and Gary Oldman.
It is a copyrighted movie by the and I gave every bit of it to where that plot line came from. It was a mention about having a whole year or so before. I think basically you are political enemies at that time.
I don't want to interview with a huge part of you. The Red Sox won the World Series. The new World Series will be come on Saturday. Become a thing of the past for more too. Now that the CDC has set food allergy guidelines, American kids have food allergies.
It wasn't a stranger. It was her best friend, her roommate. But Marcia posted $100,000 in debt. Marcia ended up losing her home. A few years later, it almost happened again. But this time, she was armed with the proactive protection of LifeLock services. Shocking, she again knew the thief trying to steal her identity. It was her son's friend, attempting to get a loan in Marcia's name. With LifeLock's help, Marcia was able to stop the fraudulent loan before it could damage her finances and good name. Marcia found out the hard way that identity theft is because so complex, you simply can't find it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. So, the mistake of thinking identity theft will never happen to you. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203, 800-305-2203, 800-305-2203.
I can trust in a political world. and friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. They say there's always magic in the air. But when you're walking down the street and you ain't had enough to eat, the glitter of light off and you're nowhere.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, Mark, are you up?
You tell me. Am I up?
I think you know, turn your mic up just a little bit. You're on, too.
Oh, on.
Yeah, turn you up just a little bit because you're on, too. You're a little low.
How's that?
Let me see. Let me go do that again.
Okay, I'm talking.
Talk a little bit louder.
How you doing, Trace?
Go up a little bit more. You need to go up and turn one of them down. Hey, you listen,
how about that?
Listen, I know we're having technical difficulties here locally on WSOM AM 600, on Blog Talk and on iHeartRadio, I know you're listening to us crystal clear. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock. I'm in so much trouble, but somewhere somebody said there was a brownies around here. I don't know what they're talking about.
I saw the brownies.
What brownies?
There were brownies. There were even brownies out there. Now, I rushed here for a meeting. I'm hungry. I'm not seeing any brownies. Jeez, oh, man.
I'm not seeing brownies.
Now she's trying to fix the equipment. I got no brownies and equipment that's not working here.
There.
Is it better now?
Better now.
All right, okay.
There you are.
You know, I have so many important things to say. I want to make sure everybody hears me.
Yes, because we have a lot to talk about. We got some things to say.
Happy Halloween.
I don't do Halloween.
You don't do Halloween?
I don't do Halloween at all.
How come?
I want to know why we can do Halloween everywhere, but we can't do Christmas anywhere.
Well, I agree with that, but I want both, not just one.
I don't do Halloween.
I
get
candy. I love candy.
I eat candy in here. This is because that's not the point. And then I got candy.
You're wearing orange today. You look very festive.
I like the color orange. Orange is the color of coffee.
Yeah, and I got orange on my tie. This is my one orange tie. It's my Halloween tie. I wear it once a year. Isn't it pretty? Got gray and orange.
It's not a Halloween tie.
Well,
it looks
have
like Kinta cloth.
On it. You know, it's got little squares.
It looks like Kinta cloth.
Nah, you can pay checkers on that.
Almost. It's a beautiful tie, though.
Yeah, I know.
Your wife
is.
Picked that out, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
I can tell.
I dress her, and she dresses me.
It's a good touch. It has a women's touch to it. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. Mark is in the studio with me. I'm not quite sure if we're going to have some guests in or not. If not, it's just you and I, and we can handle that. But I have
a
question.
Well, at least I won't have to share the brownies.
What brownies? What brownies, Mark?
The brownies that they're eating outside.
There are no brownies.
Jeez. Now I'm going to have
the engineer's asking me for brownies. Everybody, I don't know what you're talking about. The brownies. What brownies?
Okay. Well, I'm going to go follow the engineer.
He didn't get any. That's why I'm in trouble. That's why we were off the air. There are no brownies.
I haven't seen you for. I saw you Monday night. But,
Monday night.
It's been a crazy week.
Yes, it has.
You know, there's not a full moon. Usually, when I get weeks like this, there's a full moon.
There's no full moon. This is just people breathing air.
Yeah, it must be the local air. They're crazy.
They're drinking the water. But that's all right.
That's what my therapist says. There's nothing that can't be cured by putting a little Thorazine in the water.
Yeah, they're drinking the water. It's you know, it's a water day. Oh, I haven't had my coffee yet today, so I'm preparing. But you don't know the color. Orange is the color of coffee, so if you want to know, if you notice, my business cards are orange.
Yeah. Well, it's Tracy and Friends, you know.
Tracy and Friends is orange.
Your previous show had coffee.
Yeah, and we still keep the coffee logo. They need to put me on the side of, you know, Tim Horton and Starbucks and and Dunkin' Donuts.
And see, you know, there's a problem. I know orange is the color of coffee, but it's also the color of decaffeinated coffee. You don't look like a decaffeinated person. Looks like you're a high-test person.
Absolutely. But the older I get, I find out that I do need to switch over to decaf by 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Because if I don't switch over to decaf by 3, I have a very, very tough night.
Uh-oh, you stay awake. Yeah, the caffeine gets to you.
Yes, I do. So I
cut my coffee off at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, no, no, no.
And then I have a Coca-Cola, which really puts me, you know, watch out.
I'm off of sodas. But I've been eating other foods right now. And I went to the gym. Doris and Dr. Mason, they're really going to get me because I went to the gym.
I like Matt Mason. He is such a wonderful guy.
He is.
But I'm glad he's not here because I feel guilty when he's here.
Oh, he'll be here in a couple weeks.
I know. And then I'm going to have to, you know, not eat for that week.
But
so
I've gained a couple pounds and I know it. But
where?
I've been eating. Those invisible brownies?
Yeah.
I know why they're invisible now. But I'm happier now.
Yeah.
I'm happier than I've ever been. I've got a chocolate sugar. My endorphins are on overdrive. I'm happy. You can say anything to me right now and get away with it. Why? Because I've been eating brownies.
Well, I had the chocolate urge last night.
Yeah.
And Ginger had been out. My wife had been out shopping, and she brought the Halloween candy home, and she had made the mistake of putting it in the dish.
Don't tell me she has to go back to the store today.
Yeah, she's got to go back to the store again.
Well, Mark, you will appreciate this.
It's going to rain tonight. I told her nobody's going to come, so don't
I
bother.
Got up
yeah.
last night in the middle of the night and made a pan of brownies.
Where? I don't see any brownies.
They're invisible.
Okay. They got chocolate frosting?
No, I don't do frosting.
Oh,
mine are
okay.
just a nice crisp. I left the nuts out.
Yeah.
But they were just a nice crisp, hard. I like the crust of the brownie. And I have a brownie pan where every brownie has its own edges.
I love the edges of stuff.
I have the edges of it, and it's all, and it's invisible.
But it's invisible. Okay. Not the invisible plate and the invisible fork here to eat the brownies.
And
did you watch The Middle last night?
No.
The Middle is one of my favorite television shows. I forget what network it's on.
On Wednesday nights, I watch Preacher of L.A.,
yeah.
and I get infuriated.
Oh, okay. Well, watch The Middle. It's about this black family that lives in Indiana. And, you know, they're a little bit crazy. Last night they did their Halloween show, and the mother bought licorice menorahs.
Ooh.
Because she didn't want the... the kids eating the candy before the trick-or-treaters came to the door. And I thought, I don't know, that struck me as funny, and it didn't make any difference by the time the trick-or-treaters or the family had eaten all the licorice menorahs.
Licorice menorahs?
Licorice menorahs.
I can turn that light off over there if you need.
No, don't.
We
no,
can
no,
sit
no.
in the dark.
No, I'm always in the dark. The lights don't have to be out for me to be in the dark, so your listeners know sometimes. You know?
Hey, Can I tell y'all something?
What?
I'm reading The Drudge, and I know not everybody.
I'm looking at The Drudge over here.
Did you see the headline of The Drudge? That is the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Which one, about the Pope? Can you believe that?
So they spy on the Pope because they want.
Such a harsh man.
It doesn't matter because they could. Hello, you spied on the Pope? Are you kidding me?
I don't
Aaron Snowden, you can never come back to America now. They're really going to get you.
During the conclave. They did it during the conclave.
Isn't that a private thing?
That's a private thing.
How did they spy on the Pope during the conclave? Did they have microphones in there or what?
Well, you saw, what was the show with Tom Hanks, that movie with Tom
Hanks?
Yeah,
it was called The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they probably put the microphone up and have the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
They spied on the Pope in the conclave. You can't spy on the Pope. Speaking of Pope, let me get to
I wonder if they put a microphone in the Pope mobile. I like the Pope mobile.
I want a Pope mobile. I got an announcement to make. Hey, hold on. I gotta find it. Oh crap. Hello.
Well, you know they're looking over here. I don't know what they would think they would get from if this was during the conclave. You know, which is private. I mean, you know. Well, listen, you keep reading this stuff, and it just keeps getting worse. And I don't see any blowback to the people that are doing it. What's wrong with these people?
What's going on?
Who's running the show? Who's minding the store?
What store?
Our country store.
Skip that.
The store of freedom.
You don't need to have that. You're going. That's too far.
And a lot of this goes back to Edward Snowden.
Edward Snowden can never come back to America. That's what I mean. They're going to kill him. You know why?
Yeah.
He told you're not supposed to spy on the Pope.
I've sat through different discussions as to whether what Snowden did was a good thing or a bad thing, and I've always, what would we be doing if we didn't know this right now? What would the discussion be? There'd be no discussion.
Yes, it would.
All on speculation.
No.
I'm less concerned about the U.S. doing it and more concerned that if the president said he didn't know what was going on.
No, I'm more concerned about both.
Yeah.
But before you get past the Pope,
yeah,
I got to go back to the Pope.
Okay.
Because I got to go to St. Dom's.
You have to. You have to do?
Go to St. Dom's.
You're going to St. Dom's?
Yes.
That's my old church.
St. Dom's is having a wine taste, and I told them that I would make sure that I plug their wine taste coming up.
All right.
And it's going to be Saturday, November 9th. From 6 until 9. And so if I'm talking about them spying on the Pope, I got to go to St. Dom's.
You got to go to St. Dom's. They've got the crazy Dominicans over there. They're the fun priests. they wear the white sheets.
We'll go back to that. Wait a minute. St. Dom's is having a wine taste on Saturday, November the 9th, and there's going to be a wide variety of commercial wines. Tickets are $30, $50 per couple. If you're interested, please call them at 330-783-1900. They're going to be inside of their new, what's it called, parish hall. They have a new parish hall over there that they just built. And so I just wanted to let everybody know, and I promise them I would let everyone know that. And so, black churches, we don't do wine taste at the church.
What do you do?
We do chicken dinners. We do something else, but we never do wine.
Why?
We don't drink wine.
I'm an Episcopalian. We drink lots of stuff. They call us Whiskey-palians.
No, I didn't know that.
When two or three are gathered together, you're bound to find a fifth.
Oh, you guys just tease old man.
Nah, I'm not kidding. We had good parties. We'd go to church on Sunday, then we'd go have our brunch and be drinking mimosas and Bloody Marys, and we'd drink till 4 in the afternoon.
Okay. Local call, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Hey, darling, how you doing?
Crazy.
Where have you been? You haven't called in a while.
This summer I have my associate's degree in the criminal justice.
Then what you going to do?
About another 4 more semesters I have my degree in psychology.
Then what you going to do? You going to find out that you knew something already that we all crazy?
No, that's why I'm calling you.
Oh, okay.
The Pope had, not this Pope, the previous Pope.
Okay.
He had to condone birth control, same-sex marriages, lesbian women priests. He had to take my retirement to get out of here. And you wonder why they bugged him? I want to know what this new pope was going to do, too.
Well, that's the new pope. The new pope is more lax than the old pope, am I correct?
Right. But see, I'm listening to the other, why they bug the pope? I would bug him, too. This guy got some serious challenges.
I love the old one. Why do you love the old one?
Because he took his retirement and got out of there. I ain't dealing with this. Y'all deal with that. I'm gone.
Yeah, he's the first pope to resign, isn't he?
Yeah,
wonderful.
It's them on YouTube down there in one of the islands drinking a pina colada.
He's just hanging out.
Yeah.
He said, I got my, Mark, when you go to the top of the, when you go to the papacy.
Yes.
You can't go any further.
Not as far as you go.
So.
Next step is saint.
Next. Dead is next.
Dead is next.
That's a pope, it's dead.
But you know the reason why I called you, Tracy?
Okay, what's that? Hold on, Mike. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking at myself, because they tell me how quick I did this.
All right.
And, yes, I'm a brag. I got a 3.4 average.
Okay.
All right. And I'm stepping on toes. I got my good shoes on, brand new Nike.
Okay.
Everybody got an opinion. How come you don't run for office?
Who don't run for office?
everybody stick to Rush Limbaugh. If you got an opinion, why don't you run the law or run for office?
Because they're smarter than the fifth grader. Only idiots like me run for office.
I got choice words for you, too. I invited you to lunch at the library. You ain't come.
Only idiots like me run for office. And I'm here to tell you, after what I've been through for the last couple days, somebody should have shot me when I ran.
No. You did right. No. It's a spot for you. You just don't want it. You Jonah.
I'm what?
You Jonah.
Jonah.
Yep.
You say jump out the boat, kick me and put me into the belly of a whale because I don't want it.
Yeah, it's a spot for you. You coming back?
No, I'm not coming back.
No, Tracy, let me tell you, you're a year from me making you do this. Then let me get them two letters behind my last name.
All right.
You know the reason why I called you?
What?
Why you saying like that?
I'm listening.
Two reasons. Everybody, not just your show, everybody got a bad opinion about Youngstown. But I've yet to hear anyone call in and say, you remember the old Westlake project?
Yes.
Which was the original project in the whole United States.
Right.
Have you seen it now?
It looks nice.
That's very nice down there.
You could half-ass give me an apartment up there. My site's a little higher than that. But if that's where I ended up, I wouldn't be mad.
Okay.
And no one has ever called in and said that.
But you know what? I don't talk down about Youngstown. I think Youngstown. I moved back here on purpose.
I
moved back here on purpose, and I love where I live. And I'm very. Youngstown has a lot of potential. What infuriates me the most is the people here in Youngstown.
And no one has ever brought that up. And I'm saying, you know, all we hear about is the killings and the robbings.
You never hear that here.
But. I don't get around because I've been so involved in school. I don't. You know what? If I write two more papers, I'll be up for a Pulitzer Prize.
But I'm serious. You've never heard me talk down on Youngstown. I'm becoming very, very intolerant of people being very, very naive. And we need to know what we know and know what we don't know. And what's happening is we have people here, instead of acknowledging people's strengths and tolerating people's weaknesses, we just shoot the whole person.
Exactly. And I, you know what? That's what I'm saying. I've been so involved in school in the last couple of years, a year and a half. I went through there last weekend. I couldn't believe that. This is the same place.
Did Cory Booker win?
The what?
Cory Booker won, sir.
I'm having a hard time understanding through these.
I'm sorry. Turn your heads to that. Turn them up.
There we go. Not to turn them down.
Oh.
Okay. Go ahead. Go on.
Did Cory Booker win?
Yeah.
U.S. Senate?
Yes. He had a special election.
Right. So he's the first African American United States Senator.
Yeah.
Ever. No.
He won. No.
No.
And we only got two. So what?
No, because Barack Obama was one.
Well, no, we only got two. So
this is the first time we've ever had two.
Yeah. But see, that's my whole point.
Since Reconstruction.
If you got an opinion, why ain't you running for office? I wish Jeff was here. If you got an opinion, do something with it. Other than talk on the radio.
You can't do anything with it. Everybody's got one.
She has.
You know, I'm trying to find a better way to give you the – because, you know, everybody says what opinions are. Opinions and advice. Everybody has one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you actually like probably have.
Awesome.
You probably have more good to do here on the radio, sharing your opinions, than you would in politics, being one of many of the herd. Because it takes years to position yourself to be at the top of a committee, and you got to kiss a lot of the wrong side of someone.
No. No, that's not true. Most people that are sitting inside an office don't even know how the navigation works. Most people are part of the process when they're voting on bills, and they have no clue how the process works. And since they're ignorant to the process, they can never navigate through it. It's like playing chess. If you don't know how to play, you'll never capture the king.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in politics. People go, and they're just on the board. But they have no idea what their function is.
Well, still, not to knock down your job, if you got an opinion and you got facts and figures, instead of talking to talk radio, you need to be trying to do something with it.
I'm not doing nothing else. I'm staying right here. I love my job.
You Jonah from now on. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to start calling you, Jonah. You know where I want you to go. You know where I want you to go.
I love my job, and I'm going to keep my job. I love my job here on the radio. I love my job on the Board of Elections, and I love my job on the State Central Committee for the Ohio Republican Party. I am happy where I am, and I think it's a good thing. And when you're happy and you know it, you ought to clap your hands and stay where you are.
There you go.
But, you know, you're going to be mad when we recruit you to the Independent Party, so I'm going to get a part of that.
What Independent Party?
We're working on it.
I want to see if y'all going to pull off this upcoming mayor's election as an Independent Party here in the city of Youngstown.
See, that's why I jumped into it. These brothers don't know how to run for office.
Do you?
I'm going to tell it. No, I could have sold Jimmy Hughes like crack on the first of the month. Did you see his resume?
Yeah, I saw Jimmy's resume. I know Jimmy's resume. Is Jimmy a bad boy?
And he let a patrolman beat him because the people didn't know him.
Hey.
He had no direction. I mean, you should have had a meeting. I know Jimmy Hughes, but I don't know him. I know of him. That's what I should say.
Hey. Everybody got to sit on their own pot.
But then when I saw his resume, I said, are you crazy?
Jimmy a bad dude. Jimmy's no joke. Just because he doesn't flow and flow in articulate speech all the time does not mean he's a bright man. He's no dummy.
Right. The second point I want to hit you with.
What's that?
I give you my address. Not to come on my house, but I want you to ride by my house.
Well, you want me ride by your house? You want me to do a drive-by?
Let's do a story, Tracy.
All right.
This brother carpenter I know took two apprentices. Was chauffeuring. I put it on his mind to do it. They come and close my porch. They have only framed it up. People are stopping me already saying, who did that?
Oh, I believe that.
See, that's how you change the world. He took two students from chauffeuring and come in and they ain't even done yet. People stopping me already saying, man, who did that? I want his number.
So you want me to do a drive? What street do you live on?
Oak Hill.
Sticks came in here for food, and there is none.
There's no food. She gave brownies to other people, Sticks. How you doing? Where do you want to go here? I'll move.
This is my point.
Way.
That's how you change society.
I know that.
He's taking two young black men and showed them how to be a carpenter.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
He designs how you going to finish it. And that's why I'm saying I'm going to give you my address off the air. Hey, just ride by and look at it.
You have my number, right?
Yeah, I guess I should get that.
You need to call me.
You ain't never come to the library and let me buy you the lunch.
I know.
So that's what me and you going to fight, Jonah.
You call me, Jonah. Turn your mic on.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sweetie. Hey, Mike, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. Sticks just walked in the door, and I'm supposed to have ribs today, and I don't have anything to eat. And there's invisible brownies floating through the air.
I got chicken wings coming.
I found out when I was about three-quarters of the way up here that there was no food.
So
you came anyways. Jeez,
well, I was already almost up here. I mean, there's more restaurants up here than there is down home.
And his wife is
eating. Can we call out for pizza?
Yeah, we can.
Oh,
and I think they'll deliver here.
Yeah.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Starting next fall, Youngstown State will be more selective when accepting students to the university. As it stands, the university accepts students even if they don't meet certain requirements, but the school does keep a close eye on them to see if they should continue there. A new policy, though, says students who fall below the university's standard won't be admitted. They'll be encouraged to attend Eastern Gateway Community College or other community colleges. The change is estimated to affect between 25 and 50 students each year. In Youngstown, a man was killed while doing yard work on the city's south side yesterday afternoon. Witnesses say a van on Delison Avenue left the road and hit a man raking leaves in a front yard. The victim died at the scene, and the accident is under investigation. And in Austin Town, the future racetrack and casino is expected to open in November of next year. Construction crews are working to get the roof on the building by December so indoor work can begin. Anyone interested in a job there can apply online. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Looking for the right car at the right price? Come on out to the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. There's over 300 unbeatable deals, like a 2013 GM-certified Chevy Impala from only $239 a month, and that's with zero down. Plus, we've even got 0% financing. That could save you thousands. Right now, our super lot has back-to-school specials from $119 a month, trucks and SUVs from $149 a month, and plenty of financing for everyone, all at the store that has just what you're looking for, the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. 3.9%, 578 months plus tax. I don't want to...
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. The Marcellus and Utica Shale is a game changer for this area, and there are growing opportunities every day for people who are willing to work. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry-level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Natural gas is changing the job market, and we are truly knocking the rust off this rust belt. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future. Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in a real kind of weird day. You know?
All right, Tracy, before you go, who are you playing right now?
Spiral Gyra.
Okay. Name of the song?
I really don't know. Jeff would know. I don't know.
God.
Oh, it's called Morning Dance.
What's it?
Morning Dance.
Morning Dance. Okay, well, at least, you know, I got a good song. I don't get brownies, but I got a good song.
Well, I'll give you good music today, because I'm in a jazz, I'm in a different kind of mood today.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's today's the 31st of October, the last day of the year. Tomorrow is the 1st. Today's Thursday. It's raining outside. The sun is not shining, and I'm having a great day because I'm full of chocolate.
It's the 31st of October, and we're running around in T-shirts in Northeast Ohio. That's a good thing.
No, I'm not in a T-shirt.
They got wind warnings out for tonight.
They tell me they're going to blow the kids down the street. That's what I hear. I hear the kids are going to be flying through the air. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to go out and take pictures.
You know, you're not alone. We don't do Halloween either.
I don't do
did.
No, I did when I was a kid. I did when I got older. I didn't want the Halloween parties, but I don't mess around with it.
Well, I did when I was a kid too, and then we started. I mean, we had Halloween parties in church basement when I was a kid.
The more I learn, the more I become a nerd. I become anti everything. I think the kids ought to fly down
the
street.
Well, I'm not going to come to your house tonight. Then I got my costume and everything ready to go. Jeez, oh man!
Take a picture, put it on Facebook, Mark, because we can use that. We can use that.
Yeah, I'm going as a sane person.
Sane?
Sane.
I don't think that's going to work.
I
heard this morning number one costume is Duck Dynasty.
I can
really
believe it. Mm-hmm. I would believe it, yeah.
And look. I saw that.
This
morning on Katie Ripa and Michael Strahan, whatever the show's called, they were the duck people too.
Fox and Friends did Duck Dynasty this morning.
A lot
too.
Of people did Duck People. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to go out. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to go there. Local, call, your mic is on.
Tracy, I wouldn't call you back.
What?
I listened to your news broadcast.
Yeah.
About YSU.
Yes.
And since you are one of the head people down there at the Republican Party, I know you can do something about this.
Do what?
You know, a felon cannot apply to YSU and get accepted.
Huh?
They're cutting back their open enrollment policy.
But because I'm a felon does not mean that you should tell me I can't get an education.
Which is my point exactly. That's why I called you, because I know you know the right people that I don't know that might just look into that.
I think, yeah. That's a whole other issue. Now, I agree with the way that they're taking the enrollment stand, because there were a lot of people that were enrolling in school that they would never make it through school. So pardon me, that is true.
No, that's not.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. 60%. I think 60% of enrolling freshmen never come back for the second year.
Well, it wasn't about coming back. Well, hold on, y'all. It's not about coming back. It's not about mindset. It's about academics. If you have to take 1+1=2 class, you should not be at the university level. If you don't know how to put together a sentence and a syntax of it, then you don't need to be there, because what's happening is teachers have to dumb down, and while other people who are there to learn, they will not be able to learn to their maximum ability. That is a problem.
Tracy, when the last time you took a math aptitude test?
Oh, it hasn't been that long.
Tracy, Stick, when the last time you took one?
It hasn't been
years since I took one.
All right, let's see. Now, I could ask you a math question that I know you can't answer.
What? Oh, I guarantee it. I guarantee it, but I'm not going to college
either. So then listen to the answer I'm trying to give you.
Okay.
They give you a test that you can't pass because they want you to take that class. Then they did that.
How the university's funded's been changed. It's going to be based on graduation rates. So they're going to look at how many people come in as freshmen in a ratio to how many graduate as seniors. And the university and the thing is, there's alternatives here now because we have community college. Any remedial courses you can get at.
Wants me to take that class. So they can make that money off their class.
They were making money off the class inside the university, but while they were making money on the university for the remedial classes there at Youngstown State, they were also making money while people were taking core classes or classes that they needed to have a foundation, and they were not prepared for it. See, you when you went
no, no,
in...
No, Tracy, sweetie.
Listen, I'm not talking about...
I'm not stupid in math.
We're not talking about you.
This may not be for you,
but remedial classes that you had to take. Maybe
you're gonna take them anyway, Tracy.
Will you let me finish?
You go down there and get.
Listen, the remedial classes that you had to take. I understand what you're talking about, but you had people in there who were not as bright as you.
I understand that.
And if you cannot put together, if you,
it
does make a difference.
No, Tracy, I've been there, did that. You didn't. Listen to me.
Don't tell me what I didn't do because you don't know me like that.
Did you take the enrollment test to go to
school?
Yes.
And I took the remedial classes. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I've been there, done that. Just because I'm not as smart as a fifth grader does not mean I have not tried.
Hold on, Tracy. I'm going to pose this question to you. You say that I wasn't smart enough to take this class, so you made me start at the beginning.
Hold on, let me finish.
So 6 weeks later, I get an A.
That doesn't mean you didn't know it going in.
No matter who comes down there, you're going to fail that test.
No, that's not true.
Start at the beginning.
That's not true. There are many people that take them to aptitude mathematics and English class who pass it.
I taught limited service up there for almost 12 years, and I can tell you firsthand, I had students in my class that literally did not know how to write their names.
And that is a problem.
I had to stop giving essay tests because they couldn't take them.
And what you're not hearing is we understand what you're talking about. I understand where you're coming from. And the remedial classes, you will still have them there.
They're going to make you take them.
No, they won't.
No, they don't.
That's exactly the thing they need to change with this. They're resetting the structure up. If you can't pass the test to get in there, you start down at the community college to get the remedial classes that you need at a much cheaper rate and oftentimes for free. And that's a plus. That's not a minus.
Right.
Ain't nothing for free. You can forget that one.
That's right. Somebody else is going to pay for it. You're right. But what I'm saying is going into college and taking Math 501 at Youngstown State University and spending $240 per credit hour, it's a three-credit-hour class, and you don't know it going in. You should not be there, especially if you're taking other classes to go with it.
Math 501. Math 501 is not.
5 weeks later, I got an A, and they go tell me I was smart.
Hold on.
You're smart now.
Hold on. No. But you're basing it upon your...
Hold on. That's my story.
But you're basing
That's
it upon your
story.
Own personal experiences. And I'm telling you that we have instructors.
How long ago did this happen with this guy?
He's in school now.
Yeah.
You will pass it. Why people pass it every day?
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
The majority of the people, they want you to take that test because that's another way for them to get another semester hour to get that thing.
No, that's conspiracy. Here's
the thing. The universe, you're going to see some changes over there, one of which is this merit education to keep these remedial classes down. The governor has determined that he wants people in and out of there in 4 years. I went to Youngstown State when they were adding classes on to do anything. Ohio State did the same thing. You couldn't graduate in 4 years if you tried. You were there 5 or 6 years.
Where do you got a degree from?
My my undergraduate degree is from Ohio State, but I went to Youngstown for 2 years.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You
got
a degree
from
Ohio State. You got it's 18 degrees Fahrenheit. What's Celsius?
I don't know what Celsius is. I live in the United States.
But you got a degree from Ohio State University.
That's right.
That's the questions they be asking you.
Yeah, because
the test is designed for you not to pass.
I went to school 30, 40 years ago. It's not the same today.
Sweetheart,
the answer is 50 degrees.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Listen here, guys.
No, that ain't right.
Yes,
either.
It is. You said it's 18 degrees centigrade. What is it, Fahrenheit?
That's what you asked.
18 degrees what?
Centigrade.
You said it was 18 degrees centigrade.
What is centigrade?
Celsius.
Get the hell out of here.
I've got an electrical engineering technology degree from Stark State University.
Yes. No, baby. You gotta understand. I'm smart enough to know to put people around me that's smarter than me that can answer that question.
I'm telling you, Tracy.
I know.
The test is designed. I just proved it.
You didn't prove it.
Okay. I say something.
This guy's talking about change that's coming in the future to take care of the very problem he's talking about.
Correct.
So,
can I say something?
You're telling me you have a problem?
Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead, Diva. Go ahead, Diva.
Hey, Mav, he is correct with those tests. Less things have changed since I've been there. Math 501 is not teaching you 1 plus 1 equals 2. Math 501 is basically teaching you algebra. And not
that.
Everybody can grasp or understand algebra. What
then you shouldn't
is,
be
hold on,
in
No. What is the purpose? Learning and knowing algebra is not going to have me ready for the real world, especially when I'm not going to use algebra and geometry in certain aspects of calculus in the real world. How
you're
would
nervous.
That Why would that
You're
stop
not?
Me? Why would that be allowed
You're
to
not?
Stop me from getting a
what
degree?
Diva, you use algebra, you just don't know it.
What I use algebra in?
And you
1
use
plus 1 is not
too,
algebra. Adding
know.
Is not yet
You know, Diva,
is
Diva
math.
You use algebraic equations, you're just not paying attention to when you use it.
Okay,
name
and you're
using
one
geometry,
main,
and you
when
just
you're
don't
in
know.
The grocery store doing price comparisons and you're comparing the 16-ounce can at X price against 4 of the 4-ounce cans at Y price. That is algebra, whether you know
who,
it or not.
Who actually really
it makes you
does
a smarter
that.
Consumer.
Who actually really does
my
it
wife.
Other than people who enjoy
I
math?
Do. My wife does that every time.
People who enjoy math.
Well, those are the people that who don't die broke, I guess, in the ghetto. Okay?
Come on,
you need math.
Thank you for your bigoted remark,
It's not bigoted. The
that
ghetto
is bigoted.
That I grew up in
yes,
had
it is
white
bigoted.
People
because
have more white
not,
people than
just
black
because you live in a ghetto doesn't mean you don't like math or you're broke.
You're against learning.
Hold on, guys. Guys. I'm going to stop this quickly. 3-8-3-9-8, your mic is on.
This is Thursday afternoon meltdown.
Yeah, hi, Tracy. Long time listener, first time caller.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Actually, this discussion that's going on had me want to call in. I'm a YSU graduate, lived in Youngstown my whole life. I have a degree in information technology. I think the focus of the caller who has called in, what you guys are saying about entrance exams, well, that's relevant. I do think there should be maybe some more focus on the degree that you're going to try to, you know, gain by the time you graduate in your entrance exams.
I agree.
Exactly.
What they've proven is, and I'm a little bit older than you, that if all you know is an expertise, you're in a dead-end job the day they hire you. Because to move up through management, you need other skills. You will always be at an entry-level pay. And that's why many people who have the attitude you have go back to college in their 40s to move on and get higher degrees because it's a diversification of understanding of other disciplines that moves you ahead as you move up the corporate chain.
And let me also throw this into the mix, and Sticks, I'm going to let you go in, but let me say this. What's happening is, and if I talk to several professors at Youngstown State and other colleges that have just general open entrance and you just walk in, you have people inside of your class that you're instructing, and they are not able to keep up with the curriculum or the syllabus that is demanding for the rest of the class. And so if you have 10% of your class who can't keep up because they're not prepared for the accelerated education of the college curricula, it is very, very difficult for them to push forward, and they're not getting the attainment that they need to go to the next level. And that's truly what's happening. It's happening, as a matter of fact, it's happening in our high schools, and we're just duplicating it in our colleges, and they're trying to put a stop to it. So now remedial courses, if you're not prepared for the curriculum of college, because you need to have some serious reading, some serious writing, and some serious mathematical skills to just participate in the discipline and the academia of college.
Not only that, Tracy, but 20 to 25% of everybody who goes into college thinking they're going to major in something by the end of their first year realizes that that's not their best fit, and without a broader background and a little bit more diversity in their education, they have nowhere to go then. They don't know
and
what
so
their
that,
options are.
And that makes sense, too, and we haven't even gotten to that part. We're just talking about the entrance, walking in the door, being undeclared, even if you're going for liberal arts.
I want to start this. I taught up there for 12 years, but I'm serious when I say these people could not write their own names. Now, how are you going to teach students going through there? It has nothing to do with picking what your major and whatnot is. It has everything to do with knowing the basics to make that decision. So what they're doing
so
every
me,
year is they're going to make these
on,
folks go
on how I think this may relate to the major that you're going into. And I agree with what you're saying, where there was people in my courses, entry-level stuff, remedial, which in, at YSU, for example, there's no way you're going to test out of some level of English. You're going to have to take something.
You're never going to test out of English completely.
In the computer field, there was people in entry-level computer courses who didn't even know how to click a mouse.
That's a problem.
And that's not a skill that you're going to typically learn necessarily required in high school.
Am I right? Is that not a problem if you are inside of a computer course and you don't know how to click a mouse and you're sitting in there with you?
There's no entrance requirements that say the person has to know that to get into the course is a problem.
But if you're going to look at it as an I don't know where you're calling from, but here in Youngstown,
he's
it's
here.
Part of a it's
I'm
from
calling
here,
from Youngstown.
You know, we have the community college here that's been set up to handle these things. And folks can go into the community college, and a lot of the people that go to the community college here don't pay tuition. They have all sorts of interesting things going on there to help with tuition to go get this kind of coursework to enable them then to go up to Youngstown University or another university to pursue what it is they want. I don't see any downside to this. I only see upside.
Well, and they're talking about the requirements for entrance, and they're talking about the requirements for degrees. Most degrees have an accreditation association that tells them what they have to teach. ABET, for example, in engineering. If a school isn't ABET approved, you can wipe your behind on your engineering degree from a school that's not ABET approved.
Yeah. Same with
accounting.
So for the degree to not have what those sanctioning bodies require is a waste of your time and money anyways.
This is more an indictment of the public school system coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
Where these folks are coming out of high school absolutely unprepared for college-level courses.
Right.
And I don't know – and the solution to that is going to take about the next 20 years of talking to figure out what to do with it.
I think 60% of the students at West Virginia University end up in some form of remedial mathematics. As a matter of fact, my daughter wasn't ready. And she graduated as valedictorian, and she wasn't ready to pass the test.
I guarantee you, I may not be able to pass an algebra. I can pass it, but may not do very well on an algebra 2 test, but I guarantee you I'll do very well on an LSAT. And this goes down to you need the entrance exam. The other caller was right. They put you in it was based on putting you in a class that they wanted to make money for. Because if this really had anything to do with education and higher learning, then they would put you in a class that was more structured to your major. At least when I was going there, you needed a foreign language. What do I need a foreign language for if I'm going for pre-law?
Because the sanctioning body for those degrees says you do.
And you have to play by their rules. You're joining their club. You're joining their club. You're like
well,
the people that come to this country
whatever,
who want to change
your
America.
Degree may be, it may not be a bad idea to change some of those courses, say, what Diva just said is relevant. And even in the computer program, you need a foreign language.
Why?
Rather than having to take one or two courses in a foreign language, I would have probably enjoyed taking one or two courses in a relevant computer language. Now, I mean, I graduated with knowledge of JavaScript and Ruby GameScript and C Sharp, but most of that is knowledge I gained on my own.
But you know what? This happens in every college, and I agree with you. I don't understand why when I go to school for, you know, computers, I've got to know French or find it, and I've got to take gym. Those are money makers. I agree.
They pass. Degree you're in, if you're going to be teaching education or something,
I just want to write code like you. I just want to go to school, learn how to write computer code, and sit in a chair in front of a computer and get fat.
Then you need a 2-year degree instead of a 4-year degree, because that's what 2-year degrees do.
No, not for what he's talking about. Because for you to advance in some area, they want you to have a 4-year degree for that, whether you like it or not. And they want you to take French or a foreign language along the way, even in engineering. What does engineering have to do with French?
I don't know if that's the case with engineering and language. I know at liberal arts you're going to have a language requirement.
No, engineering. Well, I don't know. I mean, daughter didn't have to take art.
But she's good in high school.
And you know what? Let's
I think
talk
she took Spanish.
That's what I'm saying. And so if you take 3 years of Spanish in high school, it may transfer.
No, she didn't take 3 years. She might have took one.
But when you look at the degree the requirements for your degrees, a lot of it is a lot of fluff that you shouldn't have to take.
They claim it's for a well-rounded education.
That's correct. But what I'm saying,
because you to be culturally rounded as well as technically rounded.
But when you look at an entrance exam, which is just to walk in the door to say that you're a student of a college, you need to have a base level of knowledge.
Does any college not give you entry-level testing?
All of them give you entry-level testing, and they all put you in probably a remedial course. But what's happening with a lot of walk-in to colleges that you don't – some colleges you can't get just walk in. They don't have open enrollment. And so if you have open enrollment the way Youngstown State had it, you had people walking in there, and they were not prepared for college in any way, shape, or form.
No, wait a minute. You could walk into – because I never went to Youngstown State, because when I went to Stark State, you took a test, and if you didn't test out of what did they call it? Basic algebra, I think
right.
is what it was. If you didn't test out of that, you took basic algebra.
Correct.
Period.
But if you're taking remedial courses, a lot of them were lower level remedial courses. Like Mark was saying, they couldn't write their name. How do you sit in a college class and you can't write your name? And I'm trying to get you to take.
I mean, that's not even qualified for remedial.
How is it for the interest of getting into YSU? If I took 3 years, I took 4 years of French in high school, so I was okay. But if I never took French in high school, I know I'm not good with languages. They're going to make me required to take a language to get my degree. That makes no sense.
On
I already know I'm not good in languages.
Well, you know, they're not going to give a rip about whether you want to take the language or not. You've chosen to go to that school and get that degree. You're going to play by
their
rules.
Degree,
and these
and
people
branding.
Think that you want a well-rounded education.
Mark,
that includes right.
When I was in high school,
I had to take Latin.
Diva, hold on. I've told you before, we will not talk on top of each other. Let him finish.
When I was in high school, I had to take Latin. I had to take 2 years of Latin in high school. And, you know, my Latin teacher, I mean, and that's just the way it was. People thought back then that you needed Latin to understand language and words and the roots of words.
It wasn't a bad idea.
And how words come together. Now it's gone. Language, it's like music. You can take music, and that's fine. You know, but what's music do? Music gives you critical thinking. It gives you creativity. If you do music, you're able to do fractions. You're going to be able to read. And, you know, it's not just that. It's the whole well-rounded thing that comes with it.
WSOM.
I'll be right back. You see me on the other side of my brain.
Trying to figure out why some people have a hard time following a basic point.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Hold on, Phil. Diva.
What?
They follow the one simple point. You're not following what they're saying.
No, the point is, do we need these classes to actually get a degree?
No.
You don't need a foreign language to get a degree.
Yes, you do.
Or a computer.
You do, and I'm going to tell you why you do. Okay, this is why you do, because it opens your understanding. He just said to you,
opens understanding of what?
The world, the people you're going to have to deal with. You can have a skill, but
because
if you don't have any
language, people, have to do with that. I'm not learning about their culture and foreign language. I'm just learning how to speak that language. I can learn that on my own.
No, you have to understand. Learning something that is not natural to you expands your ability to learn. You can't listen now. You won't listen now. They don't do it for just the hell of it. You think they just
do
it for the hell of it?
Whatever.
No, they don't.
They do.
There's a reason
you're smart. It's like a gauntlet you have to go through employers want to know, but it proves that you can do it. You can take it. You can handle it. You need to go through it.
I know some musicians that are so proficient, but they can't get through school to get a music degree, and it shows one thing to people: they might be good at playing that instrument, but they can't function in the world. They teach you how to think.
If I want to learn a foreign language to deal with if I'm going to deal with foreigners, people who speak a foreign language. I could take Rosetta Stone.
You don't know what life is.
I can learn a foreign language outside of going to college. There is a wealth of knowledge.
You can do anything, but it doesn't prepare you to go into the job market. Those skills do.
Learning a foreign language learning a foreign language did not prepare me to go into the job market.
Go ahead, Alex.
Can I chime in on this subject? I'm going to save my opinion for what I think is the real root cause of this problem that we're talking about, but I think that it is important to have a general education. I can tell you, I have a master's degree, a bachelor's and a master's degree, both in engineering, and it's just when you're reading things, like, if it teaches you not just to think, but also to learn, because the market is always changing. And if you just want to get just the bare bones, then just go to a trade school and figure out a skill. But what you have to realize is that things are always changing. And if you're going to be a professional in a career, information is always changing. And so, like, I could tell you, like, with computer programming, every 2 or 3 years there's a different language that comes out, which is why I thought about going into that field, but I was like, I didn't want to do that. So I became an engineer, a computer and an electrical engineer, because I know the basics in physics. But so no matter what changes, you know, the laws of physics don't change, you know, and so I can always adapt. And so what it teaches or what it shows is that you are able to learn, you know, and so and a lot of people just can't do that. So they're not fit for professional positions, you know, for leadership and organizations. And you may think that, well, what is a foreign language? What does that have to do with anything? But everything that you read has a basis, like, say, in Latin or whatever. You might see a new word, and it may be pertaining to your profession, but you can look back at the Greek and the Latin roots to understand what the meaning of that is, you know. So
it's not trivial. Learn outside of higher learning. If you want to, no matter where you go, you're always, if you're looking to get ahead in life, you're always going to be learning. You're always going to want to know new information. That doesn't mean that if I'm trying to go for a 4-year degree, I'm going to get all of that in that 4 years. And it'd be just that. You guys are making it seem like if people don't take these extra classes or some of these non-needed classes for their major, that they're going to be stuck in a rut and it's going to be dumb. And that's
pretty
not
much.
We have plenty of people who have not excelled in college, dropped out, and have gone on to be very successful in their personal lives. People who have never even gone to college have been successful in their personal lives.
Hey, Diva. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I wanted to, you know, before we went on break, I wanted to say, you know, the problem really is the problem really is the government here, because the thing is that you're absolutely right that you don't need a college degree, but it's because of the government that's created this issue. They've basically given a gift with their student loan program to all of these colleges, because now it's become a business, because to just even enroll people who shouldn't even be there. And they start, and they're making up programs, all these college degrees that people can't even use. And there's so many people that are going to school and they're coming out with degrees and they're saddled with debt and can't even find a job. And you're right, there's people who don't go to college at all, and they do far better.
And now I agree with. That's what I'm saying. Entry level testing, I don't have a problem with it. What I do have a problem with is the entry level testing is not geared towards your major. It is not.
But it doesn't. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your major is. if your major isn't in demand.
Oh yeah, you got to buy
a couple of their albums.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I like Spy with Robert.
Give me a favor. Turn up one. Cassie Tavone's coming in.
He's looking for brownies too.
There's another headset over there.
Only
the best. Down there by your leg, to the right, right in front of you. No, down in front of you.
Ah.
Oh. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Mark and Sixer in studio with me. Sixer went on a rib run because I didn't have any food, so he had to go find some food. Hey, Mark, look down in the front of that bag and see if you can hand me that splitter.
What do you need?
There's a splitter inside of there. And we are here, and it's open mic, but we were talking about education at Youngstown State University. For those of you who don't live here, it happens to you across the board, because what it is when you go into, you have enrollment policies and procedures that you have to go through, and every college and university is different. But Youngstown State University, which is the local college here, changed their policies where you have to have some baseline of readiness or academic readiness before you go into the university. Their open enrollment has somewhat had some stipulations attached to it, which I find is a good thing, because from the professors that I've heard over the years, they really have a problem when you have students that walk into a classroom who cannot put together a complete sentence and cannot, and when I'm talking about writing, your writing skill, if you can't go through four or five chapters in one night, it's very difficult to navigate through college.
And the good news with this is the motivation behind it was our governor from the state, which is pushing 4 years for college education. And for those of us who've been through the mill going to the local colleges, whether it's Ohio State or Youngstown State, we know what it's like when you go apply for to graduate, and they look at, oh, you need another course. Oh, you didn't take this. It's 4 years and out, and that's the way it ought to be, and they got to get the remedial classes where they belong.
Even if it's four or five, but to make it to where after you've been there for 2 years, you're still trying to make it through your core.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you weren't prepared for, at a baseline level, to accelerate your learning. That's kind of difficult, because if you can't read, it's kind of hard to go to college and learn how to read.
I would ask
Dr. Tyrone, how you doing?
I'm doing good, really good.
Give me a favor, turn up one for me.
What do I need to do?
Mic one. The number is 347-945-5229. Jeff, I see you're in the chat room. Alex, I see you're there also. I've got some people in there who've been to college. 782, I see you're in there, and Diva and Not-So-Blind Mike. How you doing, Pastor? I know that you've been to the academics of college, too, the collegiate academics.
Yeah,
of the country.
Yeah, I came in.
You went to what's that called? They don't have open enrollment.
No,
U.S. Marine Corps. U.S.
USC.
And for those of you who are south of the border, that is not South Carolina. That is the University of Southern California.
They don't have open enrollment there. I got to pass a test to walk on their campus.
It's hard to get in there. I went in there for graduate school. I came and actually through a smaller school, Cal State University, Northridge, through that Cal State system, and came in through computer. I had a scholarship in computer science and went through there, but ended up graduating studying health administration and accounting. But graduate school for USC. And, yes, it is. It was very difficult to get into both of those schools. You had to have pretty good entrance exams. And
You just don't walk into those. Cal State, those are not walk-in schools. And it's because California has a huge community college space.
Very big. And that's great for supporting people who need assistance because they are perhaps remedial. I even worked in vocational rehab for quite a few years, and I had people, one lady in particular, she had come from the killing fields that we know of through Vietnam.
Yeah.
And she had left there only in the second grade and had an abusive relationship even on stateside, so you can imagine her education level, but was able to get her into Pasadena City College and then start working her way up.
And you can do that, but Youngstown State, for the strength of the college and the academics that it needs, it's a good thing that they set a baseline of where people need to go walking in. And I just agree with it wholeheartedly, and I applaud the new college president for taking the stand to do it.
And I'm going to say something about Youngstown State. People in this town don't realize what a good school it is. I will tell you, and I'm going to use my son for an example. He graduated in accounting and applied for the master's program in accountancy at Ohio State. It is one of the top accountancy programs in the country. He's the only person from Ohio that got accepted into his class. And
really?
That's Youngstown State. I did my first 2 years at Youngstown and my second 2 years at Ohio State, and it didn't take me more than 3 days to realize how tough Youngstown is compared to going to Ohio State, where they tend to sort of dumb down to the average. And Youngstown keeps very high standards, and it's just a great, great school. I would not hesitate in a minute to send my kid there, or anybody should. They just do an outstanding job up there.
Alex, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
I'm just sitting here chuckling at the conversations, and I like you. I applaud the YSU's President Dunn. That's a gutsy move he did, and I've been waiting for years for YSU to increase their enrollment standards, and it's just a great thing for the university. It's a great thing for the city, and unlike some of the folks, I'm older, but I have a recent education. Okay, so I've been in the college systems at a graduate level and higher recently. So I know what they're doing recently, like right now. And with YSU taking a bold step like this, this really jumps Youngstown into a believable community. Because my daughter Tracy went to Youngstown Christian, and they went to graduated at Ursuline. My one daughter refused to apply at YSU, and I was left at a loss as to why you didn't, because my ex was a full professor over there, so she could have gotten great tuition, and I could not convince her to just get your undergraduate degree there, ace it, and go on to a higher level graduate institution. And finally, after going back and forth, she finally broke down and told me that she didn't want YSU on her resume, period, because of the enrollment requirement. And that's sad. That's really sad. And another thing, when I was doing some graduate work at YSU, one of the students told me, a graduate-level student told me, said, there's a saying at YSU. It says, if you find yourself at YSU, you screwed up. Get it? YSU, you screwed up. And this is the thinking that they have. And to say that YSU is a tough university, it's like high school now.
At one time, it was a grown-up high school.
Yeah.
That was the thought of it.
I chuckled at early college, Youngstown City Schools. Early colleges, these kids are, I've seen those kids. I've seen how they perform. I've seen the level of rigor that the professors give there for the regular college grade kids. It's, if you go to YSU right now before President Dunn, and if you paid your tuition, and if you went to class every day, you would pass, okay? And that's not the way it should be. You know,
but you know
the university is a full-blown university. You have to learn. There's a certain level of rigor. And I listened to Diva and some of the other callers, and I think the one guy who said he took courses over there and talked about Celsius and such, you know, you missed the point as to what undergraduate college is about. Undergraduate college is to enable you to think, because as you go through your life, you're going to be faced with situations that are going to cause you to think and reason and deduce answers. Graduate level college is for the specific learning. Technical college is for the specific learning. But undergraduate four-year colleges is for the ability so you can think on a broad level, so you can change and adjust and go through your life. That's why you take all the like non-related courses to your major. That's what it's about. You know, we don't seem to get that. Am I talking too much?
Hold on.
I just want, you know, the accreditations up at Youngstown are amazing. Their business school, at least in their accounting department, is only a third of the schools in the United States have the kinds of accreditations that Youngstown State has. You look at some of the specific departments, and you're going to see outstanding folks. Their chemistry department is terrific.
They are.
Their history department.
Their GIS department is awesome.
Yeah.
The science department is awesome.
These are world-class departments. Everybody takes it for granted.
Siemens just came in here and what? They got this partnership for this it's $400
million.
$800
million. They're partnering up over here. It's just a phenomenal amount of money. You know,
they don't do that. And
if the department has a strong credibility, but if the university is still perceived as a fourth tier university, it makes the department's accreditation a moot point. Because
yeah,
when
and that's a public relations thing. They need to bring that up, and we have to quit bad mouthing it here.
That's correct.
I mean, we start at home.
That's correct.
Home.
And Youngstown has a wonderful school program. Hold on, 412, your mic is on. And so is yours, Jeff.
Okay. I wanted to bring attention to something. There's sort of like three levels of education in America. You have your state colleges, you have your liberal arts colleges, and you have your Ivy League. These were all set up in a fashion for... Really, it wasn't necessarily a great purpose, but it served a great purpose in that many people were able to get education because you had these three levels of education in America. And we're meant to actually separate the highbrows from the lowbrows. Okay, but it doesn't matter. If you get an education and you're not dumb and you have some brightness to you, you can climb this ladder and enter into any bracket that you want to enter into. The reason why they put a rounded education around you is to teach you how to think.
Amen.
It is not for you to just sit there and go and learn how to do one thing. Just like you said, go to a freaking ATV school or learn
a technical college.
Yes, technical college. Go to a tech college. They have them in different types of things. Go to one of those because you don't have to have those requirements. But those are specific degrees. They don't teach you how to function in the world. They need you to be able to know how to learn. Alex was trying to say it on the break. Learn how to learn. Because if you learn a language, you know, I learned three languages through high school. That's what I had to do. Okay, I didn't have to do it, but I did. I learned Russian for a year. I learned Spanish for a year. And I had 2 years of French.
Okay, my father likes French, and that's why I took French. I should have took Spanish. So I learned that. I learned how to speak Arabic then from other people and learned certain words and things. I learned how to speak some Amish.
I only got an hour and a half.
This has to be understood so you can go forward. Because if you don't realize that they have you take all these courses to teach you how to be well-rounded so you can fit into any situation, then you might as well just, you know, forget it. You can't argue this point. They have nothing to say. Thank you.
And what's going on is our young people today, we're not teaching them to be well-rounded.
And that's really important. I told, you know, my son when he graduated, if you think a college degree is going to guarantee you a job, forget it. It doesn't work that way. College degrees are tools you take with you through life that you use to work your way up in your chosen profession, because you may end up in something entirely different, and it's going to be a result of maybe some course that you took that you,
right.
You know, it opens
Tracy,
up the
you know how my college degree has helped me over the last since 1976, since I got my first bachelor's degree. You know how it's helped me? I've fallen on my face so many times over the years, and I've been able to restart. And it was all because of my college education. It gave me the ability to start over. It gave me the ability to figure out how to get back in the game. Because as many times as I've restarted, started, and fallen, you know, an ordinary person who hasn't had that experience would have given up and stopped and defaulted.
Hold on.
As far as I can go. But the sky is still a limit, and it's because of my background. Well,
I agree.
And using my slave name on the radio.
Because you haven't given me a non-slave name for me to call you, and I can't think of nothing else when I see the number, and I know the voice. But nobody knows how many pranks there is.
Damn it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm trying to be anonymous.
I use some serious technology in this. Hold on just a second. Alex, did you have anything to say? And also, Diva.
I did.
And Diva and Mike, did you have anything to say?
This is Alex. I wanted to just say real quick that I think that education is important, definitely, but I think there's a little too much focus on college education because of the moral hazard infused by our government. Basically, the government screws things up, and then we look for the government to fix the problem, the same people that created this problem that we have. Because the issue, we have a bad economy that was created by our government. And so that's why there's this extra emphasis on getting an education. And so, but if we had a good economy, you know, there was a time when you could go out and get a good job even with an eighth grade education. But you can't do that anymore because our economy continues to shrink and has been for decades. And so, the college education thing, it's important. I wouldn't tell anybody to not go to college, but I just think we have to be mindful of the big picture here that, there's a lot of people who don't go to college and they make a lot more money than I do, I tell you that. You know, and it's because there's things that, like business ownership and just other skills that you can get that could be a lot more valuable than a college education. But the only reason why we're focused on it is because of the moral hazard created by the government. You know, they took over our public schools, and so now most of the people coming out of schools they don't know how to read and write and do basic arithmetic. And then, people had trouble getting into colleges, so they created a student loan program. And so now the colleges know that this is free money, and so now all the college tuition rates go up by 8 to 15% every year because it's just free money. And so now nobody can afford to go to college. And so then it's all these problems that's caused really by the government if they would stop messing up our economy and our way of life.
Let me know this into the equation because I am a non-college graduate, and people have no idea how hard you have to work when you're a non-college graduate because you always have to ever keep on learning. So my basement looks like the MAG library, because I'm always trying to find more. I can't get enough because I have to prove myself more because I never got the tool for the discipline of going those 4 years and sitting there whether I like the person or not.
You still have to keep learning regardless if you have this degree or not. And, of course, it depends upon, first of all, what the field is that you've selected, what field you're working in, and what your natural giftings are. And that's one thing that you definitely learn from an undergraduate degree is that you have to keep on learning. So having this kind of diversity of courses is actually helpful. Even I heard you guys talking about, you know, other languages. Had I been smart enough, I would have done better with other languages, particularly when you're dealing with a global economy.
Correct.
The key part is really just having mastery of what you're passionate about and what you're gifted at. No, you don't have to have a degree. Some of the most, let's say, wealthy people in the world are salespeople.
That's correct.
Which is the bottom line, whether they have a degree or whether they don't. The problem here locally is, and I think you said it earlier, is Youngstown State does not promote itself. Now, I grew up on the West Coast, even though born in Pittsburgh, but there were certain universities that I was clearly aware of and continue to see promotions, literature, et cetera, even as small as Mellon College and other ones that were just down the street in Pittsburgh. But never once did I ever see anything regarding Youngstown State University.
And Youngstown has a problem with promoting Youngstown, whether it be Youngstown City,
absolutely,
Youngstown College,
yeah,
or anything to do with Youngstown. We have a great place, a great city, but promoting who we are and how great we are – we have a very, very difficult time with it. Listen, I got to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Good morning, Green Room. Is anyone in the Green Room?
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. We're here.
How's everybody?
Have you guys heard of the new coming Common Core, the learning initiatives, education initiatives from the federal government?
We've discussed it several times.
Say again?
We've discussed that several times on the air.
Okay. Well, yeah, I may have missed it, but that's going to turn the entire education as you know it on its ear. And it's an excellent thing by the federal government. I mean, it's going to affect colleges, but initially the secondary schools. But, you know, our kids – go ahead.
You thought that they weren't learning before. They sure will be learning now.
The main idea of Common Core is this. Just look at multiplication. Just like take multiplication for an instance. Common Core, and this is on the three subject areas that they're involved in, but this is an example. Common Core is taking a kid away from having to the drudgery of having to memorize the complete timetable and have that kid apply operations of mathematics. No operations of mathematics is more important than knowing the actual timetable, because if you don't know how operations work and doing equations or expressions, you don't know if you don't know that you should do the math in the brackets first, then multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction, you know, in that order. You won't be able to use equations, even if you know your timetables.
That's why they have to move kids more towards them trying to do different types of word problems rather than them attempting to memorize the tables to multiply or add or subtract or whatever.
That's what Common Core is about. Common Core is trying to jump our American kids to a competitive level where they can compete on the world stage, because all the other kids are using digital technology and learning. Recently in Cincinnati, Ohio, Hamilton County school systems, you know, most school systems outlaw any handheld devices like telephones and such.
Mm-hmm.
But in Hamilton school system, they are allowing their kids to have handheld devices, because those devices allow the kids to Google and research during their course assignments.
In most colleges, it's like a requirement. You have to have a laptop computer, because most of the assignments are going to be over the internet. But I just wanted to say, in terms of foreign languages,
he's talking about grammar school, though. He's talking about
secondary
college,
schools as well.
Right, right. Okay,
oh.
College.
The only problem I have with Common Core is it doesn't go far enough. It's only focusing on one aspect of a kid's learning, and it doesn't focus on the other aspects. Because a kid who is good in math, they're going to struggle through this, but they'll get through it. But someone who excels in math, they'll master with no problem. But there are other sides to us, too, and it's not just in the sciences. The arts are very well-rounded in our culture and our society as well, and we need to focus on that as well.
Even in the languages, learning language today is a dying art, because if you go on the Internet and you see the communications on Facebook and on Twitter and some of the other social media sites, it's nowhere near a classical structured language. So there's no really that is virtually dying off like handwriting. The idea
is, can you
communicate your thought?
But you have a definite advantage if you know a foreign language. If you're applying for a job in healthcare or education, it's an advantage if you know Spanish, because a lot of the patients are going to be Hispanic, and if you have a nurse or a doctor that can speak Spanish, that's a definite advantage to them being employed at certain hospitals. And then also in terms of school teachers. Some school districts, like if they're a major urban school district, it's almost a requirement. You have to know Spanish because a lot of the children may be in the classroom and the parents don't speak English at home. And you may have children that their primary language is Spanish and you have to teach them. So I've heard from people who are in the offices where they hire teachers in like major urban areas, and that's one thing they do look for, to see if the person knows a foreign language like Spanish.
That's a definite
advantage to them being hired.
It's an advantage in your life in many other areas as well.
Yeah.
I haven't applied for any job. I learned Spanish in high school, conversational Spanish. I can speak Spanish in the street. I can communicate with people. I've had girlfriends that have only saw Spanish. I've traveled in Latin America countries where speaking Spanish has been as a benefit. So it just enhances your life more than just a job. I've never gotten a job.
I've learned 4 years of French in high school, and I'm like, okay, I have not, other than speaking to a friend of mine, I have yet to see where French has enhanced my life.
Well,
other than just learning a language, and other than just having other basic skills, here's the bottom line. The job market right now is so competitive. You got to put yourself in the place of an employer, Diva. If they've got 10 people who have an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree in something, and then in walks somebody who's got 4 years of French, played on a varsity basketball team, did this, did that, they're going to hire the most they can for their weekly paycheck they're willing to pay. Anything you learn is always going to be a plus.
That's the truth.
Thank you.
And not just for getting a job. It just enhances your life.
Yeah. You will marry better. They've proven it. The more educated you are,
Hold on. You will marry better.
You will be less likely.
Who wants to be married? Oh, my God. He's putting
you
in bondage.
You will be less likely the victim of spousal abuse the higher your education level of you and your spouse. You will earn more lifetime money.
There might be some stats of that, but they've got to
There are a lot. People who don't graduate high school, okay, and get married, they're like 75 or 80% of all spousal abuse. You graduate high school, you're the next little sliver at 10 or 15%. It gets down real small when you're college educated because you have communication skills that you've learned and you have better problem resolution skills. And that's just the way it is, and it's a fact. And what's wrong with learning? You know, the bottom line is it all about getting the degree with the minimal effort that you can expend? Is it more that liberal nonsense, inclusion by existence? You are here, therefore you should have a degree.
What does that have to do with someone being liberal or conservative?
Well, what I'm getting at is there's a trend in this country of inclusion with no effort, and it tends to be a progressive agenda. And the progressives keep wanting to join things just simply because they're here. And like I said to Diva earlier in the call, Diva, you pick a college and they have rules. You're joining them. They're not joining you. There you go. Get going. If you don't like what they're asking of you, go find someone else who has different requirements.
And no one is saying that shouldn't be the case, but that wasn't the argument. The conversation was about their requirements. And
yes,
no one is saying, no, they shouldn't have requirements. No one is saying, well, no, because I don't like the requirements, I got to get away from it. We were just our opinions about the requirement. And yes, you're right. I did go somewhere else, which I chose to do, because my experience at YSU wasn't a great one.
They've taken required languages out of high school now for about 40 years in this country. Let me give you the actual statistics on this. The average 1968 high school graduate graduated high school with a vocabulary of 24 to 26,000 words. The average college graduate today graduates college with only 8,600 words. They have one-third the language skill.
Hey, Mike.
I'll go back to the old way of teaching any day of the week, even though it might have been rote memory in the beginning, to remember your multiplication table. At some point, you caught on.
Hey, Mike, I agree with you. This is Alex. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And this is why y'all were talking about Common Core earlier. This
can
is,
I have that ringing,
is,
Alex, for my wife? I said something to agree.
Actually, I agree with a lot that you say. I'm just normally quiet. But but that's why I am vehemently opposed to Common Core, and because it's a furthering of the same trend that we've been seeing. Because they're trying to say, well, it's making the kids at a higher level. No, it isn't. Because you see how they think that they're giving these kids algebra and they're taking away memorization of stuff and showing them operation. Well, it's been the progressive agenda for decades to make everyone too dumb to think for themselves, but just smart enough to operate the machines. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this is about. You know, it has nothing to do with making these kids any smarter. Because
right.
And that was a huge debate even when I was in college at Pitt, because people wanted to use their calculators. And I remember my master's thesis advisor, he also taught some classes for me in undergrad, and he would say, you know, in his classes, you couldn't use a calculator. And we had to go in there and do everything by hand because it showed that you really knew it. And that's the problem with a lot of these young guys coming out now, coming out of college. They don't know jack.
Mm-hmm.
They just know how to use – they just know how to point and click and use the programs and
right.
or know the latest terminology. But when it right. comes down to really having to implement something from scratch –
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they did in the 50s and 60s. Like these guys don't know how to make a transistor right now.
No,
you know?
They don't. I was going to say that,
so,
Alex. You know, they don't have a math skill. They don't, they love their processors. They love them fast, but they have no idea. In the old days when we used to do electronics back in ancient days, you had to be
right.
able to know what the silver band around a resistor versus the gold band meant and what the percentage of tolerance of accuracy when you designed a filter circuit for tuning a
exactly.
radio and stuff.
Good
to know that stuff. Today, these kids, my kid knows computers. No, your kid's a trained monkey. You give him a
yeah.
banana and he can run any app in the world. That's what you got.
Yep.
You don't really have
yep.
people who know how to repair those computers. Those are special kids in
nope.
our society that go that way.
Yep, and that's
when
why,
we were
that's
kids,
why my
Alex,
kid.
Did you have a
yeah.
wrench in your hand? Did you know how to do some basic auto mechanics?
Well, I'm not that old. I'm
oh, okay. Well.
But yeah, but I did, I mean... You know, I got out there a little bit with my grandfather, you know, when I could,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I've had to use the wrench and,
I hear people
you know,
all
some
the time.
Tools.
I hear people all the time complain, I went to the garage, they want $5,000 to fix my car. I got ripped off, I got this, I got that. Yeah, because you're a dumb butt, and you don't even know that the oil filter's not connected to the muffler pipe.
You know something? Hold on a second. I'm one of those people, and I don't consider myself a dumb butt, and no one I know... considers me a dumb butt. Not everybody wants to get their hands dirty working on cars. And I drive foreign cars. And I drive foreign cars that are expensive to repair. And I've spent lots of money on repair bills.
Okay,
not everybody.
You never had a change of flat.
I don't even like assembling things.
A lot of people, you know, I mean, how many people from around here will spend thousands of dollars to travel away and they haven't seen the Football Hall of Fame or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
The same way you can live in Los Angeles, California, and never go to Disneyland.
Bingo.
Well, even more. I mean, everybody goes to Disneyland if you're in LA, but there's so many other things.
I mean, Knott's Berry Farm. I mean, everybody doesn't go.
You skip Knott's because everybody goes to
Disneyland.
Disneyland. Why do they go to Disneyland?
We don't go to Knott's Berry Farm because
lights
Walter
going
Knott
off
a,
and specials
an
and events. And Knott's Berry Farm does like zero publicity.
Yeah. They don't have the money.
That's why nobody
there's no
goes there.
They don't have Florida financing them. What do you want?
Well, you have to promote, and perhaps maybe. And maybe it's print media. Maybe the Vindicator needs to do a better job at reaching out to some of the local things
not,
that are here.
It's not the. It is this. It is the. It's not. It is not the Vindicator's position to do that. It is the
to make money.
They don't make money.
Offer advertising.
They offer advertising. We don't pay for it because remember, it costs money. And most of these agencies are nonprofit agencies. And nonprofit agencies have a very very difficult time raising enough funds to do what they do. And to keep it afloat.
Okay, wait a minute. Now I'm not. I'm just a little bit.
Euphemism for steal from the public legally. For most
Pardon
nonprofits.
Me? Say that again.
If most of these nonprofits that are started, you can get a list of them from the IRS. There's about 30,000.
No, you're changing the subject, sweetie. Mike.
Yes.
You're changing the subject. We're talking about the arts here in the Valley and why they don't publicize themselves. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of people get behind Oh Wow and push it, and it appeals to kids, and the school district
Correct.
Engage in that as well. So that kind of public relations by word of mouth is taking place with Oh Wow. So that's really a great thing. But why couldn't the Vindicator offer – I mean, look, it's just basic math. I'm a little bit edumacated, but I just know that you take a page and it's divided up by X, and so even if I have an eighth of a page and I'm charging this, it can be helpful to me as a newspaper, especially when your enrollment or your – circulation drops from 130,000 people down to 80,000 people. You need to do something different. Hello?
Good luck telling them that.
I think I just did.
Thank you. Good. That's law first.
Wow.
Yeah. Tracy,
that's when they call you and offer you the free newspaper for
Locker.
A week or 30
Locker.
Days.
Say that again, Mike.
That's when the newspapers call you up and they'll offer you a free subscription for 30 days. And you say, well, how can they give it away? Because if you look at the calendar, you'll see they're being rated by ABC. ABC, the Auditing Bureau of Circulation. That's how they get the charge
That's
for
correct.
Advertising rates. So everybody's got a game. Everyone's got an angle, Tracy.
hey, Matt, it's good to see you up. And Philadelphia, haven't heard from you in a while. How's everything going?
It's all right.
Okay. When you look at what promoting our city, promoting the positives.
Yeah.
It's not done. It's not done effectively, but I've come to the realization that people don't know what they don't know. And trying to convince them that they don't know it is very difficult.
No argument there.
Do people want exciting news or do they want the same old dirty laundry?
They like dirty laundry.
I think they like both.
No.
But
look,
they're not used to hearing
it. Look at what we watch
other.
On television. Look, we love the dirt. We never
love
the glory.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'll put it to you this way because I worked for years in the music industry. And I know the control that the music industry had over the entire, and still does, over the entire country. It's a little bit less because of the Internet and people being able to do their own distribution and P&D deals and joint ventures. But there was a point where whatever you heard on the radio, it was just constantly shoved down your mouth. You didn't really have a choice. People wanted to hear other things, and that's what kind of caused the explosion of alternative music. People have always wanted choices, but people who are in control – they're used to giving people the same old thing, the status quo, because it is profitable for them. And I've said this because I've sat across the table from record store owners and record label owners when I was even doing public relations for Rat Pages magazine. I'm not even sure if they're still in existence anymore, the good old Larry Flint ownership.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Is that free public? I shouldn't have said that, too. Huh?
Right.
Yeah, you didn't know what a preacher
is. The lowest common denominator right now.
That's true. But, I mean, anyway, the point is people control things, and sometimes when you don't know what other choices are out there, you stick with what's put in front of you. If all you know is meat and potatoes, you don't know that you can have pork ribs in a studio or caviar or other things like that. And people know, even in, you talk a lot about politics here.
Yeah, we do.
The art's the same way. You got to know what the choices are. Well, there's some arts, great arts, I agree, here in Youngstown, but they're not promoted.
But the reason, and a lot of times the reason why they're not promoted is because of funding. You know, I just said, you know, we just plug them and they don't pay for advertisement.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a local chamber of commerce in Youngstown?
Yes, we do.
And they're not out there promoting the city, bringing business to the city and stuff?
That, but business to the city has something, nothing to do with the arts of the city, because the chamber will not tell you that their job is to not promote the arts. Their business is to promote the business of the city,
well,
not the arts of the city.
But part of the problem
the
with
I dealt
arts.
With, we did
Hold on, Mike.
Because it was an attraction.
That's
arts,
right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Part of the problem with the arts is we don't raise our children with it. And what I mean is, we make our kids go to music class, and they sit there in mass, and they sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and we never take them to the opera. So by the time they get to be teenagers or young adults, and somebody says, hey, let's go to the opera, well, I go, you got to be kidding me.
Well, see, let's look at this. When we were in school, I think, Sticks, you're with me.
Yep.
We would always go on field trips.
Mm-hmm.
And those field trips would be to areas of different arts. So you would go to the Butler, you would go to the Symphony, you would go to something that they would have different areas and that you would go to in the Butler. It'd be, you know, field trips. And the schools had more resources because now you got to pay for the buses to go. And we weren't suing if there was a flat and we got stuck on the side of the road. And the arts could open up and pay all of the people that were playing the day that all the schools came in.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening now, because of the tightened resources, you don't even have art class inside of your schools anymore. And it's very limited if they'll be able to take a whole class to the Oh Wow or to the Arts Theater because of limited resources, and you don't have the outside funding them going in.
Right, the classes now are the art class is not going to be every day, and then one of the big ones that was kind of reduced that actually reached out to the inner city was SMART, students
Correct.
Motivated by the arts. That YSU, perhaps for good reasons because of financial issues as you just described, decided to eliminate, and they had hundreds and hundreds of kids coming through
Pastor,
this program.
Let me tell you, I met with some of the SMARTs people last night, and they're working very hard to keep that in the community and moving forward looking for alternative locations, and I'm really hoping they're going to be able to keep that program going because it's the single most important program I've seen.
Are you saying the location is the issue, the finances related to the location?
It's location and finances, but you have to understand the SMARTS program actually was almost standalone up at Youngstown State University. They were associated with the university, but the bulk of their money came from outside sources funneled through the university, raised specifically for the SMARTS program. So Becky Keck, the director up there, you know, has talked with a number of the Power of the Arts people about trying to keep this program going as a standalone program in a different location, and they're very, very close to being able to do that. They can get the logistics worked out over the next 60 days. It's something that we need to keep, and there's a lot of support for it. It's just the single most important program I've seen generally.
What I don't understand, and maybe I misunderstood you, is you said that, and there's a lot of challenges often within a major university because they're trying to grab the same pool of money, and departments often compete against each other. But I thought I heard you say that they were out basically raising their own funds, and there are philanthropists or people who contribute specifically for money that's earmarked
for the
arts.
Yeah, correct.
So then how could they lose if the money is specifically earmarked for them?
And I don't know what the circumstance is up there. I understand some of the issues that are faced by the Fine Arts Department, but I can tell you that if you're looking at an overall budget of around $350,000 to run the entire program, okay, that they have raised the SMARTS program itself has raised funds specifically for the SMARTS program, funneled through the university, of at least $200,000 a year. So they're very close to be able to be self-sufficient and standing. It's just that that this is happening relatively quickly, and the funders are being contacted. And I think, you know, the university is going to be very helpful in helping the transition. And you know, it's just when you're running the university, they got hard choices to make, and that was a tough one because I know all the people involved with it.
And they had to make it. But that's where we need to understand how we need to find more creative ways to get things done, so that it is not impeding upon other agencies to get it done. And I think what's happening is we keep on leaning into each other and competing with each other instead of working with each other to make a difference.
I'm hoping that the funders that are dealing with smarts, and I think this is the conclusion, because we had a pretty about 2-hour conversation last night on this, is that the funders associated with smarts, the funders should increase, because there are funders that would be available for smarts as a standalone that would not be available with them as associated with the university. And so I think it's going to work out. We're working very hard to get it done, because that is just an outstanding program.
I've got to go. Hold on. Who's that?
That's me. I just want to throw a quick monkey wrench in here really fast. For any of these programs to succeed at any universities, you have to have some demand for those programs, especially dealing with arts. And in what I've been looking at for probably the past 20 years, because I've been a musician forever, and that's kind of what I do for a living, I've been noticing that, like what Tracy was talking about, dealing with your grammar schools and your high schools and things of that nature, getting rid of music classes and arts classes and things of that nature. Well, especially in public schools, these programs are obviously, they need money to be able to run them, to hire the teachers, to buy the supplies and music, to make sure that the instruments or the uniforms are supplied. Unfortunately, if you look at the programs that have been going through these public schools, like Common Core or International Baccalaureate or other things that are extremely expensive that don't allow room for kids to take these music classes and such, and then when you get into the university, you just don't have the demand because they don't have an interest that's built up through the public school system. So I think that's
now
a major contributor.
That's not where Youngstown State is lacking. We have arts. We definitely have arts here, and they're good at what they do. We just need to be able to expand it further out. Wow.
May I say something?
Sure.
Good. Good afternoon, everybody.
What,
it's
Brown?
It's actually morning. Oh, don't say what like that. I'm going to add something pretty pertinent to this. I'm listening to the conversation, and I've found, well, my experience, the best way to have exposure and interest in the arts is having parents that exposed you as a child. And I know that not everyone's parents were into the arts. I guess I'm fortunate that mine were, and constantly took me to everything from the Nutcracker Suite as a kid to seeing Fiddler on the Roof on Broadway. And you develop an interest, and even if that interest wanes through your teenage years or young 20s, it will be picked back up automatically. I think there's a Bible verse, something about instilling something in a child. I don't know, and it's a shame that now I don't play any instruments and I never decided to be on stage, but if you have parents that were culturally aware in terms of the arts, you have a better chance of developing an interest and seeking out those venues yourself. That's
I
all.
Take
you know,
with what Brown just
but you
said.
Know, what'd you
he
say, Mike?
I don't know. On stage.
Hold on.
What are you doing here,
Hold
Brown? You're on
but
stage
Mike,
every day. You're a star here.
I'm a celebrity throughout the internet. I'm aware of that, and that being that as humble as possible. And let's just attribute that to my parents as well.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just teasing Brown. That's all. I was just saying.
All right.
Go ahead, Six.
Well, but one of the things we've done with art is we've changed. A lot of people don't look at, say, bluegrass as art. But a Picasso is art, but the guy who's doing drawings down on Piccadilly Circus, that's not really art. And by elevating it up here where the hoity-toity people are the only people who have art, and not letting what all creativity is art. But we tend to put it on levels. You see what I'm trying to say?
But let me say this. Let me throw this into the mix, and then I want to pull in, I believe, Alabama. Hold on, guy. I want to pull in Alabama before I go to break. But let me say this. It's kind of hard to develop and appreciate of the arts. And arts is more than creative arts. It's more than just arts. It's more than Picasso. It's music. Because we have people who think that rapping is art, but they don't know the history of rap. And they don't understand the poetic nature of rap. They don't understand the musical base of rap. They don't understand they like to mix music, but they don't understand the creation of music. We have taken the technological advances of our society, and we have lost the common core, not the education common core, but the common core or the root of where it actually starts from. So when we look at, even with creative design, everything starts from a creative base inside of the art for the most part.
People don't realize that.
Hold on.
People don't realize that rock and roll came from black spirituals.
But people don't realize when we talk about the creative arts, your internet that is, and your engineering and your technology has a creative side to it. And when we have taken it and we have squashed the creativity of our young people by not allowing them to explore the arts, even inside of the elementary school process.
What one of the goals that I, as Tracy knows, I'm involved with a number of organizations in town, is to talk about the very things that Styx and you, Tracy, just talked about, of integrating all these diverse elements into a program so people get an appreciation of the entire picture. I'm a bluegrass fan. I'm a rock and roll fan. I actually have my fair share of rap on my radio. And you know, these are all interesting things. Nobody can tell me that Beethoven didn't have
a
beat.
Hold on. Hold on. Go ahead. Hold on, Alabama. Go ahead, local call.
Tracy.
Yes.
I started this fire.
I know.
So let me end it.
Hurry up.
You missed the whole thing what I was talking about.
All right.
I don't care if you're the dumbest cat in the school or the smartest cat in the school. It's all about money. All they want you to do is come down there and sign that Pell Grant. That's why Eastern Gateway and YSU ain't arguing no more.
And what we're telling you is even though it's all about money, it's not all about money when it came to why Youngstown State dropped their blanket open enrollment courses.
That's not true, Tracy. You're wrong.
All right.
I'm down there looking at
it. All right. I'm gonna agree to disagree. Okay.
All they wanted you to do is you looking at people to go graduate in 4 years. All they want is 100 people to come down there and sign that Pell Grant.
And what
what we're telling you is
Youngstown State relinquished that $100,000 and gave it over to Eastern Gateway.
No, $400,000.
Okay, the $400,000.
I don't even know how many kids.
The 400,000 people, Youngstown State, relinquished all those numbers and gave it to Eastern Gateway. That's what they did. But that's what happened. And let me say this, and it was a brilliant move on the governor's part, because what it did was it made the universities more accountable in who they accept. Because
you
right now,
you're not listening.
You're not listening.
All I want is 100 sheep to come in my ranch.
But you're not listening to what they did. What they did was they made it to where you just can't sign people up because we're not going to pay you unless they walk out the door, out the back door. If they don't walk out the back door, I don't care how many people you sign up in the front door. We're going to make everybody accountable.
730-781-96-WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren.
And caller, you ain't lying. Because I'm going to tell you my experience. This must not be the first time they've been involved in something like this. 1998, Youngstown State University was involved in a scandal. It carried on from 1998-1999. I don't know if they still do this, where they were having students enroll without having to take either the SAT or the ACT, so that they can meet their quotum to get federal and state dollars. And then after the first semester, they were kicking them out and then telling them you had to take your ACT or your SAT.
That's not what happened.
How are you going to tell me I was there?
And I'll tell you
they did it to me.
I'm living downtown, Diva.
I was one of those students.
Get along.
Okay, why did it happen, then?
Okay, because they have to receive you coming in from city schools no matter what. That's what's going on in this particular situation.
You still have to take ACT and SAT.
The state college has to receive you. Let me kind of
they have to receive you, but you still have to take the ACT and the SAT.
Yeah, you sure do. But the thing is,
they were not having to take that.
About not letting people in certain places. I got disconnected. I can't do three things at one time, just two. Okay, you know, they weren't just able to do what they wanted to do. And people were forcing them into situations of receiving all these students. That's why you have this Eastern Gateway push right now, and they're going to get rid of those students and try to bring their inside up. They're not just trying to get the quotas, yes, because if that were the case, they wouldn't have never made Eastern Gateway University.
I'm not talking about Eastern Gateway. I was not there. I'm not there anymore, so I didn't go through a program. I have no idea about that program. I'm talking about my experience. Why they and several thousand experience the experience of several thousand students that happened between 1998 and 1999. They weren't supposed to accept students who did not take the ACT or the SAT. Yes, if you took the ACT and the SAT and you applied, yes, they had to accept you. But they were accepting students without that requirement. Then after the first semester, they were suspending them and then telling them that they had to meet their requirement. It came out afterwards, later in 1999, the reason why they were doing that was because they had to meet a certain quota of enrollment to get federal and state dollars.
But what does that have to do with the price of chicken today? That's 15 years
No, the
ago.
Fact of the matter is you're trying to act – he said that it's about money, and people are trying to act like, no, it's not about money. Yes, sometimes it is about money.
But who cares
stuff
if it's
happens
about money?
That it Diva, is about Diva. Money.
But, Diva, who cares if it's about money? What if they just want you to sign the Pell Grant to hit a quota? Does that stop the individual from saying, hey, I'll play their dumb game, but I'm going to get the best education I can get while
so now
I'm
you're
here. I'm going to do my homework.
It.
I'm going to
now
apply myself.
It.
I'm going to work hard, get good grades. They can play all their silly money games, but when I leave here, I will know something. What's to stop an individual from, okay, I'll play your game, but I'm going to leave here knowing something. I'm going to take advantage of you. I'm going to get an education.
You know something?
Well, now you're justifying
it. No, he actually hit the nail on the head about what you have to do throughout your life. Sometimes you have to play the game of the larger structure in order to get what you want. In fact,
so you allow
time,
wrong to be right because the ends justify the means.
Well, there's only so much a student can do to control or to change a situation, in order to improve yourself, you're going to be in situations where you don't have control of the infrastructure and control of the administration of the hierarchy. But you make the best
nobody
you can
is saying
out of it.
That. Nobody
no,
is saying
but that.
No,
but that's
was
but that's what the
was,
gentleman that just spoke was saying, and I kind of agree with what he said.
No one is saying that the student was. What we're trying to point
who
out
cares
is
what
the
somebody
fact
else's
that
motive is, as long as you get what you want.
I care.
Why? Well, then don't go to that school, Diva, and say dumb. Or go to a school that'll play your game the way you want it played.
You know what?
You ain't
but life
find
doesn't.
Any.
But life doesn't work that way.
No, it
you
doesn't.
Know?
At some
life
point
doesn't
in our life,
that
every
things
one of us is
things
an Uncle Tom. At some point
you know,
in our life, every one of us has to be an Uncle Tom to somebody. Like Bob Dylan says, we all serve somebody sooner or later. Maybe the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're all going to serve somebody.
Okay, so don't point out what they're doing. Just keep your head low, do what you got
to
do, and
you
do
have
it.
Nobody no ability
is saying,
to change it. This is
nobody
what's wrong
is saying,
with being Don
and the, only
Quixote.
Thing that, the only thing that the caller did, and the only thing that I pointed out was certain practices. No one is telling anybody, no, you don't have, you can make a, you have to do something about it. Don't, just
you
overcome the
energy.
Nobody was doing that. Nobody
phantom.
Was saying that.
We were just pointing out an egregious practice that was going on, and then you're trying to justify it by saying,
you,
so what?
Yes, it was,
to get your education?
So
don't point it out then.
Well, all right. You guys,
I mean, I can't tell you how many times
I
had to
just
swallow grin and bear it being blind in the school system. But I got an education because I was there to win, not to point out what was wrong with everybody else.
So you think
I
went to college to point out something they were doing wrong? I had no clue that they did it. I had no clue what they did was wrong because the only thing I was there to do was to get an education.
But
when you find out something is wrong, there's nothing wrong with pointing out what is wrong.
And what are you going to do about it, Diva? You were saying it was an injustice before about those students because they got Pell Grants, and it was all about the college making money. Who cares?
Obviously, something was done. They stopped the practice. It doesn't matter. You can say what you want to say, Mark, because you're going to disagree fundamentally with me anyway, whichever you don't care. Wrong is wrong, and if a person points out something is wrong, they're not wrong for pointing it out.
My name ain't Mark.
Or whatever. You sound like Mark.
Oh, whatever. See, not even the courtesy of telling me. I know your name's Diva. I give you that courtesy.
Because I have a very distinct voice, and I'm the only lefty that calls on the show.
Oh, here we go again.
I have a very distinct voice.
I'm the only lefty.
This is arguing now.
I used to get Alabama and Alex mixed up. Don't take it personal.
Mike, I only wish.
Yeah, I got you, Jeff.
I only wish that you can have sight. They mentioned Pablo Picasso.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of Picasso prints.
Mm-hmm.
On my walls. In
mm-hmm.
fact, I'm almost ashamed that one of them that I look at in front of my desk every day, I don't know the name of it, but looking at Google Images, and I only wish that you could see, you know, for 2 hours to look at some of this amazing work. Some of it's really weird and strange, but this art's amazing that I'm looking at.
Yeah, Senor Dolly was another one who I would have loved to see.
I like Dolly. I have some Dolly. I have Lincoln and Dolly vision. I just haven't put it up.
But I wouldn't go see it. But Brown, the truth be is, I'm a healthy American male raised in the ghetto. I probably would, if I got my site back tomorrow, the first 3 days is probably going to be on porn sites on the Internet. We'll go check out Senor Dolly.
That's, you know something? And Pablo Picasso probably would have done it right along with you.
Yeah,
and
I want to know how much dress a woman really has before I go see Dolly.
Even though I was raised to, my father and mother took me to the symphonies that my mother was classically trained, et cetera. And I sat up and hated it. But I got a chance to go to Paris, and we toured the Louvre. And when I did, that was fan-freaking-tastic, let me tell you.
I had a newfound
respect for it after that.
I'm the same as you, Jeff. They used to drag me along, and I'd be like, oh, I don't want to do this.
And I
you know, as
you
a kid.
Brown.
But some of the things that I enjoyed, some of the stuff, they just took you around. That's what you're doing. Now, as an adult, I went to the Picasso. There was a big Picasso exhibit that was traveling, and I was in Seattle, and I went up to Seattle in 2010, and I went with my cousin, and I wanted to go. And, we went 3 days in a row, and I said, you know, I need some of these prints. And then you could find these prints online, like poster quality, and I got them dry-mounted, which is not in a frame, but it just has like a dry mount to it. There's no frame, but it makes my place look so cool, and particularly the Picassos, and I have Kandinsky, and I have some other things downstairs, some Van Gogh, and I don't know, just it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Where do you live, Beasley? In the freaking English art museum or something?
No. Well, you know something upstairs in the top floor in the top floor of my loft. It looks almost like an art museum. I've got a Kandinsky. I like everything he does.
Are you in San Francisco direct?
I'm a little bit outside of San Francisco.
Hey,
okay.
Jeff, your microphone's real hot. You need to back off on your
I'm back up. Sorry about that.
You're clipping.
I'm just a loud mouth.
Well, then let your vocal cords do the work. Turn the mic down.
Well,
when I first moved up here again from Los Angeles, is where I'm from. I lived in San Francisco, and then I found a place 15 miles out, and so I'm close to San Francisco that I got. Probably twice the quality of place for one-third of the money.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so, I mean, the city's available. It's overpriced.
But you know, past the bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
AM 600. The number is 347-945-522. And I didn't do it with me. I have Mark Mangi and Styx. And it's an honor to have Mark Mangi and Styx on a Thursday. Styx came for the food.
He had to bring his own food. How, you know, geez, what kind of a deal is that?
It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked.
Okay.
I didn't have no brownies.
What brownies?
Yeah, the invisible brownies. Them.
You got oranges right there. Sweet, candy sweet. Easy to peel. Clementine.
My mom tried to tell me one time that fruit was candy. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I have to have a little bit of fortification in my fruit juice to drink, whether it's orange juice or tomato juice.
I got Pastor Tyrone. He hasn't been here for so long. But, you know, if you act, you know, you ought to come by and just say hi every now then and again.
I did. Here I is.
But you know how long it's been? It's almost been a year.
Has it been a year?
Almost, yeah.
But look what a marketplace you have, how fortuitous it is for me to be here with him today.
I got great friends.
You know, and,
I got great friends in here. And, you know, they are what you call networking their way through this place. It's the good thing.
Even though he's a Trojan.
Trojan man.
That's a whole other show.
We need an exorcism here.
You know, I mean, I'm serious. Those of us with teenage daughters, you know, you're sitting there watching TV, and the next thing you know, there's a Trojan commercial.
Lord help us.
A Viagra commercial.
Oh, talking about the mascot from the University of Southern California. Oh, my goodness.
Now do you understand my exorcism comment?
There's another Trojan here. Bite on.
I didn't do that. Tracy started it.
Whoa.
No, I didn't. I just whipped out a little jingle that I knew.
She is not supposed to know anything
TV,
about
it.
It's on TV. That's where I was going with that. I mean, it's...
Until
you can't
I
even watch
TV
with your teenage daughter anymore without...
I think that's a perfect opportunity to you explain to your daughter what kind of
heart
are.
Oh, Lord, help me.
What kind of
heart? A beautiful daughter, too.
Lord, help me. Start praying for her now.
I think it's
important.
Need to
put out a global.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Let him run his
Wow.
I like him. That's a good song.
You like him?
Yeah.
Dylan Laundrie.
John Henley. Gotta love
Everybody
him.
Knows this one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So how did this cross all genres, all?
Because people understand they're tired and sick and tired and tired of being tired and sick and tired of negative news. Yet we can't get any positive in the vending. I can't say any, but more positive, I should say.
The same way that the song Back to Ohio seemed to cross all. I went back to Ohio. My family was gone. Pretenders, I believe, isn't it?
They didn't play that in the West Coast.
What are you talking about? You went back to Ohio with the people in... No, I don't know back to Ohio. I know Dirty Laundrie, though.
I just know I love L.A.
Yeah, we all know we love L.A.
Who's from Los Angeles?
Blank now.
Hey.
Oh, I know.
Hey.
I remember that.
All right.
Now, you never got any of that crazy California political stuff with you, did you? When
no,
you
not
any?
At all.
They never did stop.
It's just talking about cars.
What, Alabama? How you doing, honey?
No. Question.
Lower Alabama. That's L.A.
Did you guys talk all through the whole conversation we were having?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I got something I wanted to touch on right quick because I guess you guys can all give some input. This is something personal. I feel as though technology has really ruined personal, like, communication skills. And the reason I'm saying that is because this guy, friend of mine, we went to high school, we see each other, you know, we call each other brother, like, who's real close. I hadn't seen him in years. He posted some, you know, real, you know, he posts a lot of vitriolic, anti-Christian, anti-hate, you know, real, you know, and I never really engage him because it's like...
Are you changing the subject?
Let me make the point. He's a real popular guy. Got a lot of friends. No. I'm coming back to what you're talking about. So when you make the point,
if
you say something and you disagree with him, it'll be like you're debating 8 to 10 people, calling you Uncle Tom. You know, that's the first thing they're going to say, right? So today he said something about Halloween. And so I said, well, look, I made a little point.
Alabama.
I made a little point about Halloween. Can I finish my point, please, Tracy?
No.
Because I think you're going to change the subject. We're talking about education.
I'm not trying to change the subject because I'm really trying to talk about how you can't even people can't disagree. Like, if I disagree with you, it's not personal. But because it's Facebook, people feel like their ego or something is challenged. Just as soon as you make a point, then when you make an intelligent, like a point that kind of makes sense, it's like I don't know, it's almost like you know it all, you think you this. Like, dude, come on.
Well, you're a strong guy, Alabama.
There's been 40
Alabama
people coming into the
and
post. Let me finish this. 40
no.
people coming in saying all types of stuff, so I'm just ignoring it now. Like, I'm just sitting like,
no.
It's gotten to the point.
I cannot believe you came in with your own show. You changed. We were talking about education and art and culture, and where you come up with it. What?
Tracy, I'm sure you go back and forth on Facebook. I think I just think this is sad. You can't.
But this ain't
I
Facebook.
Can talk to a person. I can meet a man and reason with him and win him over most of the time. This is sad when you can't make a point. And I think Facebook kind of dulls people's skills of how to communicate.
We ain't talking about Facebook. We wasn't talking about Facebook. We were talking about arts. You know, arts, paint, culture, symphony, music, painting.
Brian Mike made a point on the break. I agree with Mike about go to college, get your education. If they want to run a game, let them. Just as long as you get out and get where you're trying
there
to
you
go.
Go.
So the question was, who changed the subject along the way? Because you came in with Facebook and debate.
But see, that's the thing, though, Tracy. Usually if I call earlier, I can kind of interject the point. And I guarantee today, is today supposed to be open mic?
No.
No, that's tomorrow.
Tracy, you just make a day open. Tracy does because whatever day, every day is open mic on Tracy's show. Y'all know that. I don't know why y'all getting on to me.
Because she can.
We love you, Alabama.
Not today. Not today.
Not today.
Mike, I've been trying to get up with you. I've been trying to get Tracy to give me Mike's number, man. I've been trying to meet up with Brian Mike. I wanted to get his number. And Tracy ain't gave it to me yet. I didn't text him or anything.
You're kidding.
No, you ain't kidding.
Am I lying?
I'm busy. Hey, I'm busy.
She's busy running down there trying to be the governor of Ohio. That's what she's trying to do, running all to the Capitol every other day.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tell you like this. Stranger things have happened.
Try to keep us from forming a coalition of reason.
Listen, that's Tracy it. Is busy. Y'all don't understand how busy Tracy is. Jeez, oh man, y'all act like I come in here and leave at 3:00, and I go home and eat bonbons.
You got bonbons.
Hey, I didn't even get mad at you for not telling me you had food today because you fed me well last week. I'm telling you.
Speak to me, kid. I don't know why you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to make a run. But I didn't bring it with me, and I got invisible brownies.
I thought they were eating for real.
They were eating for real, but Six had to go get it because I was running late because I was talking on the phone to you. Hey, listen, speaking of which, if you live here in the Youngstown area, there's going to be a Caribbean night on the 7th. Yeah. On the 8th, I'm sorry, Friday, November the 8th, next Friday, from 9 to 2, located at the B&O station at 530 Mahoning Avenue. And the music is going to be by DJ Swift Star from New York City. Tickets are $25, and they want you to come out. For more information, please give Sandy a call at 330-793-3900. Wanted to get that out.
Say what now? You said there's a Caribbean night, you know.
Yeah, they got a Caribbean restaurant here in Youngstown, too, called Flamingo.
Where's the place at?
B&O.
B&O, no.
B&O.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
B&O.
They're going to go Curdy Goat.
Aye, man.
Curdy Goat, plantains. And fried pies. Absolutely.
It's a reggae music.
Absolutely.
It's a reggae music.
Aha. What?
You got it.
Reggae is too hard to play. You got to learn the instrument, then you got to get the hair for it.
Yeah,
I just want to say something about the arts, though. When we talk about certain things, bluegrass...
Are you on your Bluetooth, Jeff?
Yeah, you
no,
don't
no,
sound
no.
that great.
Hold on.
You don't sound that great. You're not that clear.
When you have your art forms, bluegrass is an art form.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Bluegrass.
We
but
agree.
It's kind of just by itself because it's not seen as being pop. Or anything like that. Rap and all that stuff is pop art.
It's all art. It's all art. It's all subjective. Some people like it. Some people don't. That's
absolutely
the beauty of art.
I think the Europeans started that whole separate thing, like this is and this is not. Like I used to be into this reformed theological stuff, and they used to actually read. They would actually say something sounds better to classical music, or it's just more put together. They actually
it's up to your taste. It's up to your taste. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
But some people appreciate, some people don't.
The European
and absolutely all of it is okay.
But this is the issue. We need to expose all people to all types of cultural arts so that they can choose and they can learn how people think and how people learn and how people live. The problem with bigotry and prejudices across the country and across the world is it's a cultural difference based upon a person's form of what they like. You know, you're going to find more African Americans who's going to go towards more a rhythm and blues and or a 2-4 beat of anything. Where you're going to find more Europeans are going to go by a 1-3. And it's a cultural form. And everybody has their own expression of their culture. And you have to appreciate it even if you don't enjoy it.
Well,
so this art day. This art day, huh?
That's basically it's art day. But you know what? Anyone that limits themselves and decides they don't like something before they've tried it. I mean, when we were kids, you know, I remember saying, I don't like this. And there was the green eggs and ham story, Sam I Am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a simple analogy here. But, you know, Sam I Am just wouldn't try green eggs and ham. He just refused. And he wouldn't eat them in the sky. He wouldn't eat them when he was high. He wouldn't eat them in the dark. He wouldn't eat them in the park. No, but that's what Sam I Am. He refused. He refused to eat any of this stuff. Then what happened? Sam I Am, he tried those green eggs and ham, and he's like, wow, you know, they're not that bad after all. You know, he liked the green eggs and ham. And that's
look,
a lesson.
Hey, Brown.
But that's a lesson
somebody,
to everybody.
Somebody bought those 30 million Spice Girls CDs. People just don't want to admit
and
it.
I don't really care for the Spice Girls, and God bless those
I'm just saying.
Right? No.
People,
so it's
people
okay.
Sneaking like stuff.
No, but
yeah.
The truth. But you want to know something? Maybe I could like the Spice Girls if I were just to listen to them with an open mind. I have a saying that a mind is like a parachute. And I'm going to end after this, Tracy, because this is the Tracy Show, not the Brown Beasley Show.
It's working on it. I'm not
like
sure.
A mind is like a parachute. If it's not open, it's not going to work.
Well, the guy said it earlier about people having different type of things within your own family that to introduce your kids to. And that kind of opens up your mind. And I was fortunate enough to worked in the music industry, too, so I got a chance to hear all different types of things. And one of the most challenging is when I worked for this record label that was heavy metal. Now, I was not a heavy metal listener. I wasn't a headbanger. I wasn't a mosh pit diver. I wasn't any of those things, but I did learn to at least, first of all, understand what people liked about it, even if I didn't like it, and I learned to appreciate that. The challenge we have, perhaps even here with the arts, is, and rightfully so, maybe a person who's the philanthropist who's underwriting the arts, he may not like it at all. So an introduction of that or an introduction of bluegrass may go contrary to his giving habits. And let's face it, if you want to keep something going, you do need the funding in order to keep that going. So that's where it becomes challenging, that even though we want to have an open mind with everything, it could be offensive to those people who want to see a certain type of art, music, or visual arts perpetuated.
The really interesting thing is to take a look at what they put on public television today. Now, when I was 18, and Styx, I think you'll agree, public television was completely different than it is now.
Right.
Now, the music that we grew up with is presented as almost an art form on public television. And I think that's
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Very, yeah, and to see that transition of not only Motown and some
but we don't have appreciation.
Music.
I mean, we don't have appreciation of different cultural and the arts as a core, because you've taken it out of your curriculum completely.
But it just seems to me that
I don't
we
think
have
it
an attitude
to
curriculum
art. As to,
hold on,
as,
Brown,
as,
hold
as
on,
to
Brown.
How available is someone is.
Brown! Hold on! Go ahead, Six.
It just seems to me that a lot of times we have an attitude of art that makes money isn't really art.
then there's no art in the world.
That's probably true.
You die.
You know, I sit on a board, and they talk about, you know, we look, money's an issue, and it's not only a matter of what's perceived to be art, it's a matter of time. Now, to go sit through a four-movement symphony right now, it's tough to do. These kids come up on instantaneous stuff. They're stimulated. They've got computers. They've got this. They've got that. They've got their video games. They've got television 24 hours a day. And to go take 45 minutes to sit and listen to a four-movement symphony, I don't think is a plausible thing.
Well, let me say this, Mark. They're having a hard time getting people to sit through a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
Without technology.
And I'm one of them. Believe me, I'm one of them. We don't go to movies because I can't sit through it.
They will not sit down through it without their phones and without texting or being on Facebook. Go ahead, Brown.
I think it comes down to how available someone is. As far as having an open... Well, available as far as having an open mind. Being
available...
But
what I'm saying to you, it's exposure. It's exposure, right? When we were in school, for those of us who are anywhere from 35 and older, I'd say, or 30 and older, mm-hmm. not you, what's happening is we were exposed to the arts, whether we wanted it to be exposed to it or not, because it started at a very, very early age. We're in school, in kindergarten, you started with triangles and singing in chorus. You went through junior high schools, and when you were in middle school, you took Helmec, you took art class. You took wood shop, and you took mechanical drawing, even if you were not good at it. You didn't have a choice.
Right.
It was part of your curriculum.
That's
during, and you did that for 4 years. When you got into high school, that's where you actually started spinning off into things that you thought you were a little bit more interested in, so you may have taken. What's happened now is all of those courses are no longer even funded and available. So even if you want to be exposed to it, they don't even offer it because you fired the art teacher.
But you can still be exposed to it. I mean, anyone who is under 30 can still be exposed to it through other avenues. I was exposed to the arts through school because my mother was not particularly interested in that stuff. But my daughter, because her father and I were exposed and we became interested, she's interested in arts. And even if someone who my nieces and nephew, their parents aren't really all into cultural arts and everything, but because I am, and my daughter is, we expose them to it. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the schools in this day and age.
Diva, it does if you don't have a parent. See, this was your original comment. You said, I was exposed to the arts through school, my mother wasn't a part of the arts kind of thing. So when you have generations of, my mom wasn't exposed to the arts, I'm not exposed to the arts, and my children who now I is not exposed to the arts, how am I going to expose my children to the arts when I have a hard enough time getting my children to the football game and my kid plays?
But there is a lot more nowadays that they have for exposure than we did not have. We didn't have the internet coming up. We didn't have all these
parents. You got to go to that site. You got to be exposed to it.
If you don't know it's there, for example, my house where I grew up, we had an entire engineering library. There were a couple of pictures hanging on a wall. That's the house I grew up in. There was no art in that house other than Johnny Cash LPs.
And there was no art. I mean,
but these,
you didn't... You,
these
I mean,
these
if
days,
Diva,
these
Diva,
these
Diva,
communities
if I
are
am,
not...
If I am busting a sag, and I am, you know, doing what I do, And I'm smoking Phillies or blunts, and my biggest exposure is Tupac to art. Do you really think I'm going to be able to go to the Universal Circus? Because I'm not thinking about paying $45 to go to the Universal Circus.
Well, you know what? Let me say this too, if I may.
Yeah, Matt.
The arts, whether it be music or art or whatever, and learning, and it is cultural teaching when you have arts in grade schools and such. They do teach different types of music from around the world. They will, you know, you can do different types of pictures or whatever the art course is. But it's a learning process about the world around you. And that's what a lot of these curriculums try to push and teach now, is learning about other cultures. Art does that in a significant, magnificent way. And to say that it shouldn't be, but that it's not really important in schools, I think it is, because it teaches you about the world around you as well in a way that no other way can do.
Hey, Matt, can I tell people what you do?
Sure, go ahead.
Matt deals with steel drums. Steel drums, if you really want to know, it's an art. That's a craft and an art.
I like steel drums. I like the way they sound.
But, again, a lot of people today, if you went out on the street today and you talked about steel drums, a lot of your young people may have never heard of a steel drum, let alone be exposed to, because a lot of people, one, don't play it, and two, they're not exposed to learn how to play it.
A lot of times they don't even. A lot of times they don't even know that they've heard it. You played something earlier in the show today by Spyra Gyra called "Morning Dance," and that song starts out with steel drums. A lot of people don't even realize that they're hearing them, and they go, "Wow, that's a really cool sound. I wonder what that instrument that is." And then once the song's over, they forget about it.
An instrument? What we think of it is, I'm a rapper. I think it's a sample, so I go and push a key and find something that just calls drums, and I don't know it's a steel drum sound.
I can think of an interesting exception to that, and not necessarily, and it might be the steel drum, but the go-go culture in Washington D.C. The go-go culture, it's a music genre. Mm-hmm. They play drums, and it's drums by hand. Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers, that would be like probably the most popular group, but it's a big culture in the Washington D.C. Maryland, Washington D.C. area. Where they
and that's
play
what
drums.
I'm saying.
Right.
We're talking about different cultures, and if you go, we talked about Caribbean, and we talk reggae, and we're talking in a Caribbean dialect. But you have to understand, their music is totally different, and their dance is totally different. If you go to, when you go down to Latin America, and listen, their music is different. Asian music is different, and all of it, even their art. If you look at some of the channels, which a lot of people don't listen to when they talk about how to make artwork on silk and how they come up with the different dyes to do it. And I was watching talking to someone the other day about taking ice cubes and taking dyes and making your own patterns on T-shirts using ice cube dyeable art. It's something that you do at home, making your own soaps, all that kind of stuff that is a dying place, but it is an art that we've lost completely because we don't expose our young people to it.
Yeah, we're losing quilting. And
absolutely.
My wife's a quilter, and she does art quilts. And an art generally, it's tough. I mean, she goes to her meetings. Those women are 60 and over.
Yeah,
my daughter just took a
quilting class.
I'm trying to learn how to crochet because I want to start doing some things. And these are wearable arts. It actually can make a living.
You
and actually can
you
do
don't,
some
you
things.
You don't see people crocheting and knitting anymore like you used to.
My grandmother.
And I'm hearing you guys say these
did.
Things. And my grandmother made soap. I don't know how to make soap. I don't really feel like I'm missing out on much not knowing how to
you
make soap.
You might not
I
be.
But you couldn't come into a certain area because she would be messing with the lie. Like, stay away from here. I'm making soap. But that
right.
soap,
but again,
that soap
but again,
cured acne. That soap cured
we don't
acne.
We don't
else.
Understand. We don't understand when we look at a well-rounded education. I think Pastor Tyrone will agree with me on this. In school, for ministers, they teach you need to know 10% about everything, so that when you're ministering, you can meet everyone where they are and take them to where you want to go.
Good stuff.
And so you have to expand yourself.
When it comes to budget cuts, because this happened all the time when I was in school, the first thing that they cut would be the arts.
That's the point. I got to go. We'll be right back. You're listening to the same.
But why is that? If arts is so important to our culture,
because
why
they don't see it. They don't see it as a direct
well, people feel,
effect
people feel
when
that
it
it's
comes
not as
to education.
It's simpler than that. Diva, you already know the answer to that. You're the one who keeps talking about it's all about the money. The testing programs and everything don't measure art, and if you don't meet the testing standards, you don't get the money.
Something wasn't mentioned and hasn't been mentioned, and it's pretty simple, but just because people are exposed doesn't necessarily they'll take an interest. Even if it's, pushed in someone's face, doesn't mean they'll take an interest. People are going to take an interest in the things they take an interest in. I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right?
Right, well, you see that with a regular student with regular classes, though, too.
Right, so you just want to see exposure. And now when it comes to arts not being funded,
And I'd have to agree with this, that with the thoughts that reading, writing, and arithmetic are far more practical in being like a literate person, art is kind of like an icing on the cake. Don't you agree?
You know, it depends on who you're talking about and where. Because there's a lot of school systems. There's a lot of school systems that have changed their dynamic with some of these programs, okay? And I'm not going to go into the programs right now.
Right.
But a lot of it deals with culture, learning about the world around you, and they have symbols of kids holding hands around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best way that I've noticed anyway to get somebody interested in a culture, and really it's the only way to get them really interested, is through the arts, through the music, through, you know, if you're a drummer, you get into African drumming. I studied African drumming for about 6 years.
That's an excellent point. That's a very good point. And that, and you know, and that's really a good point, because once you're interested in the culture, you have an appreciation for this group as humans, and you become interested and curious about them, and you understand, and you start finding commonalities from the differences. Even though there's cultural differences, there's an awful lot that all humans share. Good point.
Thanks.
I never thought of it like that. No, I never thought of it
no,
like
you're
that.
Right. Well, if you notice, too, as I said, I'll make it really quick. I study music. I've been in music for roughly 30 years, 35 years, something like that. And if you've noticed in popular music that came up through the ages, even today, you'll find a lot of different cultures of musicianship involved. You'll see, like I said, the African drumming comes into a lot of modern day music. Or you can go outside, like with what I do with the steel drums. A lot of the Tahitian and the Trinidadian type drums, or the Trinidadian type rhythms and time signatures, it's all come into this modern music. And that was because a lot of these people were introduced to arts in grade school.
I wonder how many of the young people today, when they're sitting in front of TV, if they even sit there, and something comes up on the History Channel about the Kalahari people or something, how many of them actually sit there for an hour and try to, and are open-minded enough to even learn something about how another culture survives? How did they get their water? Where's their food come from?
No, you're right.
No,
right.
It depends on
or would take the time
it,
to look
it,
to a National Geographic magazine that my grandparents sent me every single Christmas for 10 years.
Yeah.
It goes down to interest. When I was in school, I was interested
right.
in National Geographic, learning about other cultures. I excelled in social studies. Other
how
students
did you find out
didn't
about
do so well.
Eva?
Huh?
Eva, how did you find out that there was a National Geographic? Do you remember the day you discovered
in school. That? My teacher would bring them to school. That's how I found out about it.
And that's the value of a diverse education, Diva. You just answered your own question we opened with 2 hours ago.
Who made the point earlier? I'm sorry to cut you off. Who made the point earlier about the arts and exposing one to people of different cultures? Who said that?
I did. Mike.
Who are you?
I'm old.
I thought
Mike.
That was me.
Old, broken down, blind Mike. Oh, I don't know. The music. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about
who talked about the one that the point that I, you know, that like opened up a little light in my head that said that
I did.
The art and
Matt
which,
did.
Okay, yeah, that was a good point, Matt. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it. It's true. You might can solve a lot of the world's problems through art and the arts. But what I find with a lot of people, and it's not necessarily just younger people, is that people aren't curious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know some people, they just don't, they're just happy where they are, and they're not interested in knowing things.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make them that interesting to me. You know, they can still, you know, they're still my friend, but I guess it's a friend on a certain level. The people that I gravitate to more now these days are people that have a wide base of knowledge and information and are interested in things. And Tracy keeps talking about, you know, schooling. I think it has to do with your folks and who your folks were and the kind of things that they put in you. And school is just maybe a bit of an additive. But I guess the sad thing is if people have parents that weren't aware or weren't curious or didn't have diverse interests, it's going to stand a great chance to limit their interests. But then again, there's kids that go out on their own that are just a little bit different than everyone else, that don't want to play video games or not interested in that, so or interested in what everyone else is. So
I guess you're pretty fortunate to have had some parents that were truly interested in arts and all types of different things, and that it'll rub off on you, or they'll instill some of it in you, because expecting to get it from schools, I don't think the experience is going to be as rich.
I don't think it necessarily boils down to just parents. Kids nowadays can get their interest from a wealth of different places. My daughter likes pop rock. I can't really stand pop rock. Evanescence, Good Charlotte. She wasn't exposed to that. She was exposed to that outside of the home. My daughter likes jazz. I can't stand jazz. She was exposed to that outside of the home. She likes classical music. I can't stand to listen. Just sit there and listen to classical music. She loves it. She was exposed to that outside of the home, not necessarily in school, but she's exposed to different things outside of the home. Now, as far as paintings and visual art, yes, she's exposed to that. But in this day and age, kids aren't in a bubble. They get exposed to so many things in different areas that we were never exposed to because we essentially were in a bubble. Technology wasn't what it was when we were younger.
It makes a big difference. You know what? I think what I hear a lot of us saying, they're saying without saying it, is that times have changed dramatically, where they've really changed a whole lot within the past 20 and 30 years, and has gone by pretty quickly, and I don't think it's ever going to go back to the way that it was.
No, it's not. That happens with time. Time changes. Seasons changes. So once things progress, it's hard to go back. Some people like how things used to be, but was it all that great? I love that my daughter is exposed to so much more than what I was exposed to.
It's simpler, but it's simpler than, and sometimes that seems like if it's better, it's better, but it's also scarier now.
Hey, Beasley, I'm going to throw something in the chat room really quick. I want you to check it out since you're into art.
I was reading the Green Eggs and Ham Wikipedia page because I got myself interested in that. They weren't coaxing Sam I Am. Sam I Am was coaxing an unnamed character to try the Green Eggs and Ham, and they only used 50 words throughout that entire book. The fourth-selling largest children's book of all time in English. Now, let me go to
that's
the chat
incredible,
room.
Isn't it? That's incredible.
Yeah. But it tells the story, and it fits exactly to what we were talking about. You know, you open your mind, and you try something, you may like it.
And you can sum it up in just a few words. Don't knock it till you try it.
There you go.
Well, but here, Diva, and I don't know who that is that's talking about green eggs and ham, but I do like the reference.
It's Brown Beasley.
Okay, I think what we have here, if I can kind of sort of shift the conversation, I think this is where prejudice comes into play, because where Diva, you made mention that the times have changed, and then someone said, I don't think the times are going to go back. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Times have changed. But when you say go back, no, I think the times can go back. It's just going to be different when it does go back. So the prejudice and the discrimination, I do think it is
another one of those songs
Now,
then we get the back. You don't have to say back or blackjack.
You know, I have to say, my last video that I worked on in Los Angeles was White Zombie.
Is this a music video?
Uh-huh. And White Zombie is a group. And I will say this.
So were you an actress?
No, I was working in production.
Did you sing on it?
No, I worked in production.
I want to make sure.
But now,
that.
You got to understand, when we talk about art.
Are you a groupie?
No, definitely not. Because I didn't even know what a white zombie was until I got there.
Did you smoke any funny stuff while you were making it?
No, didn't have to, but I want you to know it was the craziest atmosphere I'd ever been in. But I will say this. When we talk about the arts,
yeah,
that's too far gone. I'll say it out loud. White Zombie was too far gone.
Is it in now?
Oh, yeah. They win Grammys. Oh, yeah. Well, they ain't no joke. But they
don't even do it.
No, you don't want to know.
Rob,
okay. I'm just
Rob Zombie.
But it's
Rob.
It is. It's very appropriate for the day that it is today.
Okay.
But I quit.
Rob, that far gone.
Rob Zombie is a very.
So when you talk about, I don't know how they talk over us like that. Who was that?
I never do that.
You tell a story. You lie.
That was.
It wasn't me. I've been on mute.
You know, you've not been on mute. Not on my,
yes,
on my, not on
I
my.
I don't mean at your end. At my end, I have a cold, and I didn't want to be hacking in your ear. So I only speak when I can get my throat right. So I was on mute. I wasn't me talking.
But I was just saying. I just threw that out there. Matt, do you know who my zombie is?
Yeah. I've actually met Rob Zombie before. Yes.
So you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, Rob Zombie is more. There's some pretty interesting. Well, actually, if you look into Rob Zombie and do a little research on him, just alone,
yeah,
not the band so much, but on him, he's a very accomplished artist and an extraordinarily generous individual when it came to a lot of different organizations and such. So he turned his art into actually being able to help people out in need.
But I'm talking about their music.
Yeah, I think in a way it's an art form. People weren't doing what Rob Zombie was doing before he came out doing it. I mean, you look at another band like AC/DC. AC/DC is another one. You've never heard a singer do that before. But
is that an art?
I think it is.
It's an art. That's what the subject.
Alice Cooper.
Is
that an art?
What,
yeah.
How about Dingbat, the one who ate the rat?
Yeah, you know, the thing of it is that I am not a big fan of that particular kind of music, but you can hear it. You can pick out who's doing it well. Because I could, and then some of the stuff I would listen and say, that's well done. I didn't like it, but it's well done. And that takes a lot of, that's a form of expression.
Hold on. But it's, I mean, listen. Have you
I don't
heard
know.
The guy who ate the rat?
No, I haven't heard that.
No,
one.
I haven't heard it.
You don't know
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne.
I thought you guys were talking about G. Gordon Liddy.
Well,
he ate a rat.
If
you're
the world, you'd be a barbarian for eating ribs, so don't judge.
If you eat a rat or eat a bat, you know, if you bite a bat, eat a rat, same thing. That's crazy. You know, that's a psycho. That's not an art.
Well, 30 years later, and we're still talking about it, so it worked.
That's true.
And he's a reality TV star.
And his wife and his daughter who has no talent and his son who has no talent are celebrities. Help me out with that.
Well, they're on Dancing with the Stars. Both.
And they have no talent. I don't understand.
Well, the guy that's dancing this year is...
Who?
It's one of the Osbournes. I can't.
His son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job.
He doesn't have who is he? What has he done?
So it worked for two generations.
He doesn't have to do anything. He just is.
Because his dad ate a rat.
Well, we watched that.
Bat.
We watched that show.
Well,
it was
same
on
thing.
For a long
bat,
time.
Rat, same thing. Anything you bite like that is crazy.
People like them.
Well,
yeah,
you're
right.
An artist?
They don't have
art.
Any talent. They're celebrities.
No. He went to a music studio. And they said, why should we promote your band and give you a contract? He pulled the bat out of his pocket, bit the head off in front of the music executive, and spit it down on his desk. The guy says, you're under contract, and that's it. He did something different to differentiate. And even if you read Jack Welch's book on how he built GE, he will tell you, you need to differentiate. Otherwise, you're just one more Me Too in the crowd. And he figured out a marketing strategy.
Then I am going to be the most successful talk radio host in the world because I have some of the best characters in society.
You don't need no bats on the air.
Tomorrow.
So what do you do?
Tomorrow
is
say, open
the
mic.
The way you do it is to accept the Ron Paul philosophy. And you'll get straight to the top.
Okay,
wow.
Alex, I'm going to get you a job with Ron Paul, and Diva, I'm going to get her a job with Barack Obama, because between the two of you, y'all make great press people for those people. But hold on. Tomorrow, I want Alex to come in and talk about wacky people in Rand Paul. But we're going to talk about NSA, and the president is now deciding that he's going to open up something to expose, to review the NSA procedures, because he didn't know anything about it.
Here's a rule. Don't tap the phone of the Pope.
That's where we started.
He's the Pope.
Yeah, you tap the phone of the Pope. You can't. You don't tap the. You
he
don't
didn't
tap.
Do that.
Yeah,
yes,
they did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, they
come
did.
On.
Yeah,
no,
and not only that. Not only that. the Sergeant Schultz routine starting to fail because they now they have records saying he ordered them to tap Merkel's phone.
The NSA guys have said, I read the article yesterday, they're saying that, yes, he knew about it, and they're angry that he's denying it.
He knew about Benghazi. He knew about the IRS. He knew more, it's like Schultz didn't know nothing, but he was always sitting in the middle of everything, you know?
And his problem is it's not that he did it. If Bush was doing it, this goes back to 2002, 2003, Merkel and the German stuff goes back to 2005. Obama ran on claiming to end it.
No, he ran
that's
on
right.
transparency.
That's the point why many that initially supported him are so dismayed and angry
because he's transparent.
He's fundamentally changing the United States of America.
No, he's transparent.
What he pledged to do was make the government transparent and operate different than what it was
he is operating differently
than it is. Listen to all Americans, and that's exactly what he's doing when he ran.
And he's listening to all the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
If I were him, I
would have come out and just simply said, I did not listen to Merkel. I don't even speak German, and all I have to say is that they're light.
Mike, it's like you saying that you can't see, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But yesterday you told me you were reading something while you couldn't see.
German
is one of those useless languages I grew up speaking because of the neighborhood. It's one of the seven languages I grew up speaking, useless language.
Oh, just checking. Go ahead, Brown.
The question I wanted to ask the panel, why am I seeing so many people outraged that the NSA is doing what they're supposed to do by listening and surveilling and allegedly keeping us safe by listening to people outside of this country? I'm hearing more outrage. Dianne Feinstein is standing up to the NSA a bit after accepting them, listening to Americans. Why are people more outraged and we're
tomorrow,
hearing
Mike,
more
to,
flack
tomorrow,
about
no, no,
them?
No, Brown, tomorrow. Tomorrow. As,
no,
as, my comment was,
though.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about this, so people will know. Tomorrow,
oh, I'm sorry. I want to ask a question, and you let me ask the question. And we
I know, but
you're
getting
you,
like
why
Alabama.
Don't you guys talk
I said
about
tomorrow.
It, then.
Tomorrow's
we'll
Alabama.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow I'm going to let Alabama talk about Facebook. He's going to be able to come in here and have his own show, come in the middle of it. Jeff and I will be here tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But think about it tonight. Then what, that way you can have some intelligent comments.
I just had to, I had to, I just wanted to, I want to thank Pastor Jerome for coming in and hanging out with us. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
Oh.
Mark, it's good to see you on my fifth Thursday. Six, it's good to see you on Thursday because you usually don't show up on Thursday, so this is you came for the ribs.
Ribs Thursday, that's why you do.
Even though I had to go get them.
Did I leave you a tip?
Yeah.
Did I leave you a tip when you brought the ribs in?
Yeah.
No. What tip?
I got a tip.
Yeah.
You didn't bring me brownies. You don't get a tip.
What brownies? Do you have proof of brownies?
Yeah, I saw them eating them when I walked in here.
That was
you.
In production. Engineering's mad at me, too. I didn't have brownies. I don't know where they got this brownie thing is, and it was Jeff's fault.
Do you bake?
Yeah, last night I was baking brownies.
Jeff can't eat brownies.
I know, but I was talking on the phone to Jeff, and I was telling him, he was saying your mouth, you know, you sound muffled, and I had a mouth of brownie. Yeah, bake. I cook.
Next time, double the order. Yeah. Next time, double the recipe.
No, you don't understand.
See,
I'm on a sugar high from brownies.
See, my wife makes these cookies for Christmas called chocolate crinkles.
Oh,
and,
I know
and she
about
got,
those.
Yeah, she got the recipe from my mother, and right on the top of the recipe it says this is already doubled.
You should not double crinkle.
Ooh, man, they're awesome.
Yeah,
Mark
like,
Bryce makes
they're
good
a chocolate. Yeah. They're a chocolate cookie, and then they're rolled in powdered sugar before you bake them.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh man.
Oh. Well, we found Mark.
That and cane cookies. Have you ever seen cane cookies?
No, what are cane cookies?
The sugar cookies.
Yeah, they use almond extracts, one of the ingredients,
yeah.
and you make them, and you dye half the dough red and leave half the dough white, and you curl.
Twist, yeah.
Yeah, oh, man.
They're good.
Oh.
Don't know nothing about that.
Well, we'll have to get you some this Christmas.
I look like I'm trying to behave, and you guys are really not helping. Mark's wife is a great cook. She's a great baker, and she taught me how to make pastels. Even though they're thin, they certainly add up in calorie. I make brownies very, very well, and I did that last night. And they were chocolatey, and I like them a little crisp, and I have a brownie pan where all edges are always all
crispy.
Absolutely.
And you didn't save me a single one.
What are you talking about? There are no evidence of brownies.
You think you're using appreciation?
No evidence
of
brownies.
What you put in those brownies?
What'd you say?
Do you think your music appreciation could be increased if you made those brownies electric?
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
That might happen. That might be good. I did pretty good with the music today because I was happy. Chocolate
yeah.
happy. You know, sometimes
happy,
you
happy, happy.
Happy, happy.
Medical money.
Happy food.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that. This is not the Cheech and Chong show.
Hey, Dave's not here.
You know, we got an older crowd here.
I'm hearing that.
That's
so what
the
else?
Part about being old. You remember all
Pastor,
this nonsense.
What's going on? I know that they what's going on here locally? I haven't seen you in a while. I know that you guys have been active with some stuff. What's going on? Might have to do that in the last couple minutes.
Oh,
I guess.
Just actively involved in the community, always working with
what's
kids and doing things in arts, actually.
Oh.
And spending a lot of time writing screenplays, and have my first novel being edited. So, and doing a lot of that and working with kids to learn to do the same thing so they appreciate writing and creative thinking.
Tell us about your novel. What'd you write about?
It's called The Prodigal Son's Girlfriend.
Whoa.
Oh, wow, that sounds interesting.
So it just takes a common story that everybody knows and obviously adds a few characters to it,
yeah.
Gives it a little twist, but it's probably a little bit more orientated towards a female audience and a younger audience.
Yeah.
But still trying to stay true to the core of the original story, but adds more characters, makes people think, characters that you will hate, characters you will love. And one thing that people don't like to talk about, the prodigal son goes to this foreign land to totally, really act a fool. So I let him act a fool.
You know, good Christian literature is hard to come by. It really is.
And you have no place to go buy it.
Right.
Burlington Coat Factory.
Wait, we can't say that because they're not taking out any ads.
Neither is anybody else, so you know.
You know, because that's kind of the bad thing about going to Amazon. If you don't know what you're looking for before you get there, it's kind of hard to find.
That is true. You got to know what you want before you get there. And they try to give you, you know, this person that read this read the rest, but that doesn't help.
Yeah. That's it. You know, it's great being involved in the community. There's obviously elections and things going on.
Elections
so
Tuesday.
To talk. Yeah, so
yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
Mayor's
locally.
Election here locally?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to bring that up a little bit tomorrow and Monday.
Yeah, you should.
I should.
So much to do, so little time. You need 5 hours.
No, I don't.
Really?
No.
You're going to talk about politics. You need 5 hours.
No, I got three.
Three. Okay.
Three is enough.
We'll make good use of it.
Three is enough.
Isn't that a television show?
No, that's three.
Eight is
enough.
Eight is
enough, and three's company. No.
Eight is enough, three's company.
Mark, thanks for coming in.
That's always fun. Oh, wow.
Mark, you're not taking pictures today, are you?
You got to hairbrush that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Mark's trying to take a picture here, and he's upside down. He's got his fingers everywhere.
Nah.
Move the clock.
That's his part-time job at the NSA. That's why he's taking pictures.
Well, Mark, if you come this way, we'll move together. It might work better instead of taking pictures of
I like hiding behind the microphone.
I mean, you both. I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared for photographs today.
Action shots.
Action shots.
Yeah, there you go, Sticks. Turn that way so you can take a picture. Ha!
Didn't you used to have cameras in here?
You still do.
They're
over here. They're hidden.
Okay.
We still do.
All right, hidden cameras.
Mike, it's good seeing you. Alex, great having you. You guys are stuck in there for the long haul. Everybody else is gone. I guess they didn't want to hear me talk and rant and rave. They want to get ready for tomorrow since they couldn't host their own show.
We're coming by the studio to clean up the brownies that you guys leave behind.
What brownies?
Whatever's left.
There are no crumbs.
There's
no evidence of a brownie being anywhere in the studio. There's clementines on
there. That's about it. There's not even any bones left from the ribs.
What bones?
We destroyed all the evidence. It's all gone.
Hey, listen, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have a great show. We're going to be glad to have everybody back with us tomorrow. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And we will see you on tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
WSOM, Salem.